Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
On Columbus. Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live to tape on a Labor Day edition of the program. How you living, Threes?
Oh, living the dream. Live to tape. I like this. I like the tape stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's the more exciting thing.
So we're going to give you guys, this will be fun, over the next 3 hours, a best of Bishop and Laurinaitis over the last month or so. And it has been a crazy, crazy month and a crazy time. This is week 26 of us doing the show from our homes. It's amazing how much time has passed. Have you been able to reflect and look back on all of the craziness, and have you even begun to put it all into perspective?
No, I haven't, to be honest. With the girls start school tomorrow, day after Labor Day.
That's right.
So that's when they're starting school, which, really that's been our countdown since March.
It's like, right.
Please have that reopen. And even that is changing. Nothing is consistent there. We had before it was going to be drop off. Everyone stay in their car. Teachers will come to the car. Now it's no. Everyone stands outside, which makes, your wife be like, what are you talking about? What about rain, snow? What do you mean stand outside? I have a newborn coming end of January. You want me to stand outside in the elements? It's I haven't had time really to slow down and look back. I will say this: I'm craving to get back in studio. I liked the at home stuff for a while, but I think every commercial break, I walk downstairs and grab a snack or like a handful of trail mix, and I think just adds multiple calories to the diet. And plus, my wife hates seeing me this much, so I tried to go back in this week, and the bosses were like, no. No, I think next time we'll be in is when our new studios are done. So, anyway, I don't know. How about you? Have you been able to really sit back in 26 weeks, man?
Yeah. This is started week 26. What I think has been really fascinating through all of this, some of it's been terrifying, some of it's been enlightening, some of it's been fun, some of it's been just absolutely frustrating, is from a sports perspective, the incredible degree of difference in leadership in all on the same page throughout sports leagues.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything that's been more on the same page than what we've seen in the National Football League, the NBA, and the NHL. I mean, those three leagues are the best run leagues in sports, college or pro. They're the best run. There's organization, labor and ownership have pretty good handle on what both want. They were able to come up with plans quickly and implement them in an incredible, safe manner. We've seen testing in all of those sports that's been overwhelmingly positive, that the athletes are not testing positive. There aren't these big swaths. There aren't these outbreaks. That's been awesome to see. Conversely, we've seen Major League Baseball, which got off to a really rough start, but now seems to have its footing a little bit. And remember, we did shows where we didn't know if Major League Baseball was going to play on Monday. You remember that? That's a couple weeks ago, where they had those huge outbreaks. It was like, well, I don't know if they're even going to have MLB on Monday. They pushed through, and they're still playing. Conversely, we have college football. And what a mess.
What an
absolute mess college football has been throughout the summer. The complete void in leadership has been seen throughout. The Big Ten's absolute bobbling of their decision. And it's something we've had to talk about a lot. It's something that changes every single day that you go about it. And it's something that we're going to revisit here on this best of show. Among the other things, we'll take a look back at the Yellowstone finale. I'm going to ask Threes how to coach defense. We'll have a little bit of fun with that. Get a CBJ offseason plan with Brian Hedger. NFL teams, why do they get it wrong in the draft? We'll have that for you. Luke Fickell gets paid and a contract extension down in Cincinnati. Our old friend Marcus Freeman joins us as well. So a lot to get to, a lot of fun on this best of show, but we start with a look back on the Big Ten president's vote, which was revealed as 11-3.
The best of Bishop and Laurinaitis.
It was never about the football. It was never about the safety of the athletes. It was never about any of that. And it's been one of, honestly, it's been something that I wish more people would communicate because I think that it's easy to just act as if that this is about the safety of players, or that it was about the safety of players for the Big Ten Conference. It was never about the safety of players for the Big Ten Conference. And if you want proof of that, all you have to do is look to the idea that they're going to play in the winter. How could that possibly be safe to ask 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds to play two seasons in 1 year? Because rest assured, if we're through this by next fall, or at least to a point where it's manageable by next fall via vaccine or treatment or whatever, if that is the case, you are playing all 12. And you're playing a Big Ten championship, and you're playing in a bowl game, regardless of what you play in the winter, because a lot of money is going to have to be made up. So the notion that, this was about player safety or health is nonsensical, and it always was. It always was. And so many people are framing this argument that as if this was the decision was about that and not about liability and amateurism, which is what it's really about. That's really what it's about. It's not about – everybody knows that if you're a student athlete at Ohio State or any place in the Big Ten for that matter, there's no better – there's no safer place. There's no other bubble that's better than the one that they're involved in. There's nothing in society better. Maybe the NFL, what they're doing, where they're basically taking traveling bubbles. But aside, if you don't have – if you can't do what the NFL's doing, the next best thing is what the Big Ten was doing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about that. These people aren't dumb. It's not about that.
Right. So – to try to play any football, it would seem way more difficult to try to do a January season. Like, if you looked at the two proposals
in every way,
In every way, like, what indoor facilities are we going to use? Is that actually going to be safer to be indoors versus outdoors? People think that there's going to be a second spike of this in the winter because obviously flu, but also everyone's going to be forced due to cold weather up north to get indoors and in closer proximity with one another versus being outside and being able to keep space, doing that in the football facility, obviously don't expect fans either way, but the travel more difficult, right? The everything about it, the logistics more difficult, the thing about player safety, two seasons in one more difficult. So it's frustrating just to sit here now and look back. I'm glad that it just took them, multiple weeks for the Big Ten to say, hey, you know what? Here was our vote. 11-3. Gosh, what was so difficult about that? Now, what looks bad now is Minnesota's president looks bad for saying, well, there wasn't a vote per se, trying to cover for the other guys because there was. I think that Penn State's president – look. Certain presidents, we should have, if you looked at the tweets from these presidents, and the funny thing is that, and I thought that Teddy had a really good point yesterday, like, only those schools know what their president even looks like, and not even all the fans do.
Yeah.
That's right. I have no idea who Michigan's president is. But when you look at the, essentially the tweets that he had made, we should have known that. All these rumors about it being 8-6 and all that, and Michigan wanted to play. No, I mean, the guy tweeted himself that he agreed with the decision.
It was all there.
It was all there for us. I agree with the decision to basically postpone the season, cancel the season. And then the next tweet basically being, welcome to campus, 45,000 undergrads. Let's do this together.
Make sure those checks cash.
Here's the routing number to the University of Michigan. Thank you for my salary. I'll
really
send you
need
home
that
in a week
45
and a half.
Grand.
It's just, but essentially what you have is the schools that you thought were going to push forward. And if you pay attention to the scores, I'm not sure the initial phone call that weekend was 11-3, but it ended up 11-3. I think that Gene Smith's adamancy about a couple things. Look, like, it's been reported. He said straight up, like, hey, we have a national championship team here. We owe it to these kids to have that opportunity for not only that, but Sunday opportunities. Like, we owe it to them. This is a business thing for them as well to go and play. I thought that was very much eye-opening when he said it. I think also the other thing that was surprising to me, and it keeps this whole thing keeps going back to this myocarditis, right? So...
Mm-hmm.
This report comes from an Ohio State director of sports cardiology, Kurt Daniels. It says, 3-month study said that 15% of college athletes who had tested positive, almost all of whom experienced mild or no symptoms, were also found to have contracted myocarditis. And I would love to know, were every one of those people, did we know what the size of their heart condition was before they got COVID? Right. My gut says no. So this is on you're already jumping to conclusions. And oh, by the way, this study hasn't even gone to peer review yet. It hasn't even gone to other doctors to kind of check the facts, because my thing is they don't test every single athlete's heart size when you get to college. You don't get an echo right away. This is the hard thing that I have with all this, is the fact that we don't have data, because we need data to go forward, it feels like, but we don't have anything. So your two options are you sit and you panic, which is what the Big Ten did, or you play through and then you look back and you say, okay, this is what – and I don't know – I think we're all still – it's time to be told kind of like what – the right decision was either way. And we don't know if the ACC and the SEC will play in the Big 12. Sure, it looks like they're trying, but they're having issues themselves.
Yeah.
They're having their own hiccups as this thing goes. But I'll tell you this, I think that the Big 10 could have released this information day one, and it would have been a lot better. People wouldn't have been happy, but they would have said, gosh, 11-3, it would have helped Kevin Warren's reputation, because turns out he's not the big bad guy after all. You know, those 11 schools now can yell at their president. Quit going to Chicago and yell at your president.
Yeah.
You know? So all the Penn State fans who claim that they wanted to play, well, apparently not, yell at your president. I think that was the fear, too. The lawsuit made them admit this, and there was a lot of, I think, of back talk. Like, I'm assuming that Penn State's president didn't have the gall to say to Sandy Barber, yeah, I voted against the season.
He may have said that to her, but he doesn't want to say that to his constituents. He doesn't want to say that to his donors. That's the damage that was going to be done.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Sandy Barber comes out and says, I don't think there wasn't even a vote.
Right.
Well, I'm sure that listen, here's the thing. Some of these people get in these positions by being political. They know how to kind of smooth talk. And
it's tone. It's the
gray.
Correct choice
it's tone.
Of phrase.
So instead of calling Sandy and knowing that she's going to be fired up, being like, hey, Sandy, you know what? I voted to cancel the season. All right, just can't do it. I voted. I couldn't do it. And dealing with that, you say, well, there wasn't even a vote, per se. You know, it was more of a conversation,
right.
And it was a general consensus. So then Sandy goes out and says, I'm not even sure there was a vote. I've been told there wasn't even a vote. And then next thing you know, it's because donors and all that's effective, right? And now it's like, oh, wait, okay. So how many phone calls does Penn State's president get in the day? Like, what?
Oof.
You voted no? You voted to cancel?
Yep.
Well, I told you there wasn't really a vote. No, it says right here there was a vote, 11-3, well, and you were part of
that
the 11.
That was the damage that we talked about last week. Remember in that response to the lawsuit, the irreparable damage that would be done if this type of stuff was all exposed? This is the damage. Is an 11-3. The notion that this was, I think Dan Patrick was right on that Monday. I think he was right. I think it was 12-2. And I think we maybe changed our vote to 11-3 to make it 11-3 after initially being one of the ones that were opposed to canceling. And then it got changed to 11-3. And the final vote from us was 11-3. Do I think that they went around to go, do you vote? Do you vote? Do you vote? No, probably not. Do I think that they were all on a Zoom and said, yeah. You had three guys going, us, Nebraska, and Iowa going, you know what, we really want to play. And everybody else like, we just can't. There's no way we can. We can't do it because of health. Can't do it mostly because of liability. Because what if some kid's on a ventilator and their parents want to sue us for it? We can't have that by putting them in harm's way. Furthermore, if we make them play amidst a pandemic, aren't we saying that they're necessary? If they're necessary, they're no longer amateurs. That opens up class action. Those are all of the things that were in play. All of that was in play. And so the way that you get to 11-3, this all makes sense now. All the people saying, and there were so many people that ran with the 8-6. 8-6? You're going to cancel Big Ten football on 8-6?
Turns out you can't, because it would have been over the threshold.
What's
the percentage they need? It wouldn't have been over that. So
60% or whatever.
Yeah,
and they had to have, there's no way if made up of the 6 was also Penn State, Michigan, and whoever else, Wisconsin. There's no way that those little schools are the 8 littles beat up the 6 bigs. No chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
So it's 11-3, and that's the way it goes down. And that's where you sit. And so there's a lot of narrative here that was squashed.
The offseason is a myth. Serving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Feed your sports addiction. The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
It's like listening, to Get Up This Morning, and they're talking about Jordan Love. and they're breaking down Peter LaFleur's comments about, you know, trying to tell him not to be as hesitant, you know, and all this. And then you hear these former players just critiquing him like, yeah, I'd be concerned because it'd be super embarrassing if he doesn't work out. I'm like, guys, this kid's had no offseason.
None.
He's in the most polarizing spot because the Packers made a terrible decision, not his fault, and he's had 9 practices so far. What the hell do you expect from the young man?
Yeah.
Like, this guy, usually when you go out with rookies, your first thing is, you know what, we're going to do practicing with just helmets, and it's just rookie ball. And this is back in May, June. And then we're going to do OTAs, and I'm running with the threes. And that's when I can be hesitant and whatever and be like, you try to build confidence. And that's when you take chances because you realize, you know what, it doesn't matter because this is OTAs. This is like spring ball. And then by the time you get used to it in the fall, you're like, you know what, I actually understand what I'm supposed to be looking at now. I'm not sitting here wondering if I even have the cadence or the play call right or if everyone's aligned right. In the fall, you know where guys are supposed to be aligned because you've repped it a couple of times. Now you can actually look up and say, okay, instead of just reacting to what the defense is in, are they in two? Oh, they're in two. Okay, here we go. I know exactly where to go. I can hit the honey hole backside on the X going vertical. I'll look to the right. Get that safety to drift, and I'll rifle it back in there. I'm going to take that chance this time. You know, oh, didn't work. Okay, next time I won't do that. You didn't cover two. Next time I'll do that. You can go through those things. He's doing all that in 9 practices, and we're going to get on this guy like he's a bust already. He might be. I don't know. But I'm just saying, let's be a little more.
It's impossible to know now one way or another.
I'll just say this. Let's approach the segment a little more prepared and actually think versus just sloppily getting in here and saying, oh, yeah, he's a bust. Let's take a breath and think. Let's put our football hat on and be like, you know what? Let's remember when I was in a locker room. Imagine if I only had 9 practices as a rookie. And you know what they'd have been saying about me in St. Louis? This guy can't get the defense lined up. He can't get the right check. Early on, it struggles. Going from playing Field 6 at Ohio State or Field Alaska Magic at Ohio State to over 43 Tahoe Alert Smash in the NFL is very different. I'm thankful I had plenty of opportunities in the spring and summer to screw it up. Because Spags gave me more and more chances to figure it out. That's why I entered camp, by the way, as the starter. I was the backup to Chris Draft, a 12-year NFL vet who got every call right. And it wasn't until he had a small asthma attack at Cincinnati due to like a little fire in the parking lot to where I actually had to play. And that's how I got my opportunity to start for the first time in the preseason.
The everything you just lined out is the reality of it. And the just to take people behind the curtain, how that happens on Get Up and how those players get into that is somebody says, all right, here's the list of topics. And this happens in politics. It started in politics with there was a show 15, 20 years ago called Crossfire where there was, you know, a right and a left and they would argue, right? And then PTI, which, you know, those guys have a relationship, so it's a little bit different. But that became all of the embrace debate stuff, right? And that's the stuff that it's kind of petering out. I think it seems a little bit contrived now. But the reason that the way that happened is a producer says, one of you have to, they don't necessarily tell you what to say, but they definitely say what we would like to hear is create a little bit of conflict.
Yeah.
And so this is the Packers, so that's an A-plus topic. It's Aaron Rodgers, that's an A-plus topic. And so let's find a way to bring this back to why didn't they draft a receiver for Aaron Rodgers and did they blow this pick?
I will say this. So that's how you get there. It depends on the producer. But at BTN, like whenever we had a thing, when I remember being on the show with like Jay Layman and you know, even with Howard, you'd have the producer be like, hey, who do you want to, you know, kind of nominate for who would be your defensive player of the week or whatever. And if all three of us said the same thing and none, it was like obvious, he'd be like, okay, maybe we won't even spend that much time on that. Let's move on to something else. Like, I don't want to force you to say somebody else.
Good.
It depends
them.
On the producer. But you're right. Like, if it's something where you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, this kid had a good day too, so I'll pick him, even though maybe I thought it should have been Josie Jewell at Iowa. I'll go somewhere else with it. I'll go Marcus Allen at Penn State. He had a nice day. And just for the sake of being someone new and being able to show different highlights and whatever. But I can totally see, like, if you're a cat like that at a big network and they're trying to just get some kind of disagreement. But a lot of times, like, when you're in the media, like, if you don't truly believe it, that's one of the things they taught us at Broadcast Bootcamp. Like, ignore it. Don't go out there and say something you don't truly believe because you'll be exposed sooner or later.
It's something that I've felt and believed and have done my entire career, lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to do it, but I do me.
Yes.
And I'm honest to me. I don't manufacture arguments. I'm not in the interest of that. I have no interest in it. And it's if it works, it works. Luckily, it's worked okay at this point. But I will not participate.
Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Good weekend. Weather was perfect. I mean,
really was.
What were we talking about yesterday?
I mean, really 78 was.
78 and sunny. My goodness, it's why you live in Ohio in the fall, my friend. That's why.
Yeah, we're here. This is our time.
We are, and I did some actual like dude stuff over the weekend. And I was cutting down the white ash tree. I did not,
pretty
however,
big one. I would tell the people
not,
too, rather large.
Yes, I did not, however, trust my landscaper in the sense of his strategy, what he told me to do.
Yeah.
So what I had was I have a maple, and so it's along the split rail fence. I have a big maple and a big old white ash tree, and their trunks are about a foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
So they're intertwined, and the branches are kind of tangled up top and all that. So what my landscaper says is, you know, hey, cut the, you know, little chunk out, you know, where you want it to fall. But before you finish it, you know, get a ladder up there. Make sure you have somebody out here with you. Get a ladder and go up and cut these two branches off. And that way it'll fall because these two are intertwined. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not that
tall. It'll hold it up.
Yeah, these branches aren't that high up. So I get my ladder up, my big extension ladder, and I go to climb up there, and I'm trying to balance the chainsaw. Of course, I have no one else out there with me.
Of course.
Like he recommended. And I'm, you know, looking up there, and as I'm trying to get up and really cut through, it came to the point of like, James, what are you doing? Get down. So I didn't cut those two, right? I didn't cut
That's
those two.
Tremendous moment of self-realization,
yes.
Right? When
like,
you
what
find
you
yourself
Don't
in these
be
positions,
an idiot.
Like, wait, what are you doing here?
And then, you know, Saturday night, having a bonfire, I had my father-in-law with me, and I'm like, well, I have somebody else here. If I'm by myself, Shelly will yell at me, like, hire somebody. But if I have her dad with,
sure.
I think I can knock this out, you know?
And Sauce is very capable.
Yes, very capable. So anyway, I get the big, you know, the big chainsaw. I got, you know, a nice big boy Husqvarna that I. Gosh, I mean, the base of this tree was huge, and this, you saw the size. I mean, I saw the video. You
it's
saw
big
the size
tree.
Of that saw.
It's a big tree,
and it's a big saw. So anyway, I'm slicing through, and on the backside, thinking it's just going to tip. What happens is I slice all the way through, but the full weight of the tree rests on the blade, and I'm like, all right. Okay, because it's entangled. So I'm like, all right. So Sauce is like, I got a rope. I'm like, of course you do. So we go to the car, in back of his car, and get the rope, you know, tie it to a little, you know, kind of wood stump, so we have some weight, toss it around the branch, and we're ready to just try to rock and roll this thing. And we do, and we're pulling from one side and from the other, and you can hear it. It's literally twisting on my saw blade. Like, it's not even connected anymore, but it's tangled up in the maple. And so we're pulling from this one side, and I'm like, let's try the other side. So we go to the other side, and it's like three of us, and it's like we're swaying with it as we're yanking with all our might. And then you hear the crack. And once you heard the crack of one of those branches finally letting loose, it was time to nice little backpedal, pivot 180, and dig. And I did so, and we made it out, and the thing went down. But I felt accomplished, man. Gosh, I felt good.
It was a big
Taking
task,
out a
man.
Big old dead tree is a good feeling.
Yes, it is. That's a very
good
task.
I don't recommend it because it's scary when a big tree goes down.
Yeah, arborist is the way to go on that unless you have, you know, 1,000 acres like Threes has north of Columbus here. Other than that, you got to be very, very careful.
1,000 acres.
Bishop and Laurinaitis is presented by Window Nation.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Searching for a replacement window? Visit windownation.com today. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This was the show of record this summer. It was
amazing. I heard about
the growth
this.
Is incredible.
When did you first hear about this?
Right away, because it was Costner and it was Montana. So as soon as the first trailer came out, I got 1,000 tweets saying, hey, are you going to watch this? And honestly, I gave it a try and I bailed. I watched the first episode a couple of years ago when it first debuted, and I bailed. And then I rewatched it last year going into the second season, and it grew on me.
Yeah.
And it grows on me in the way that, like, Sons of Anarchy or Justified or some of those FX shows do. Like, it's just good fun. Like, it's not Game of Thrones. It's not Mad Men or Sopranos, but it's good fun. And this season was a lot of fun.
So I first heard about it when we went out to Big Sky. And the couple that we went with, one of the couples we went with said, we just watched the first season of Yellowstone, and before we came out here, just and you know, so it's kind of funny to see, you know, you land in Bozeman and then to kind of go around Montana, and you get the understanding as you pass all these massive ranches, and you just wonder, and then you see, you know, the Big Sky Center, you know, and the plans for downtown Big Sky essentially, and how they want to build it up into a mini city, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, what battle did they have? And they're explaining all this, and we're like, well, would you recommend it? And they're like, you have to give it 3 or 4 episodes, because they're like, right off the bat, you'll be like, I'm not sure this has the actor quality, you know, that you really need, and then people kind of settle into their roles about 4 or 5 episodes in. People start to, you can tell the writers really pick it up, and they, I'm like, okay, all right, and same thing. Like after the first episode, I was like, all right, I'll watch it because the scenery is beautiful, and it'll remind me of Montana, you know?
Yeah.
But then I think the writers start to really do a nice job on the arc of all the characters and the actors and actresses kind of come into their own with their roles.
Yep, everyone very comfortable by the time we get to season 3, which was this year. Go ahead and hit it, Chops, and let's start with the best storyline. Look, there was only one. Everything came to a head. So everything came to a head. You have murder and mayhem at the end of it. You have really all of the factions coming in, but no questions answered.
Yes.
No questions answered. So an incredible cliffhanger. You can only do this on a show if you know that the show has at least 2 more seasons to run, which we know this show does. That's the only way you can do it. Because they really didn't tie a ribbon on any of the presents that were out under the tree this year. They left everything open.
They did. And it was a... and they left it wide open. Wide open. Like,
yep.
What it found you doing at the end... the last scene, which it was a huge cliffhanger, where you're like, oh, come on. And we'll get to like what you think your prediction is, kind of who set it up, but you can see yourself saying, oh, yeah, sure. I think it's looking like so-and-so did it, but you're like, but is that what they want you to think? And then there's a curveball, and does he really have it in him? Like, there's so many things that like where you're... Basically, you can make it seem like 3 or 4 different people had the hit on John Dutton.
No question. Whether
it was market equities, whether it was the tribes. I mean, Jamie? When the lady attorney for the tribesmen were saying, you have a warrior up here, let him be a warrior. And, you know, and you have market equities saying, you know, it's time to play dirty like a Yemen oil deal. And then obviously Jamie, you know, we knew Jamie meeting his real father wasn't going to be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't really buy all of that. That all of a sudden he'd be loyal to this guy who murdered his mom.
I don't buy that he has it.
By the way, John Dutton took care of him, sent him to Harvard, did all this stuff.
Right.
Like, come on.
That's why I don't.
I just don't buy all that.
I think the writers tried to spin it with like Jamie being all salty. You know, like I buy Jamie being salty in that meeting to Beth. You know, and like
he had a great line. He kind of won that scene.
I can buy him like one-upping Beth because he hates her clearly. Like they hate each other, and so it's this. I can buy that. I can even buy him being, like, snooty to his father in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as going all the way to orchestrating, hey, we're going to try to kill the whole family, because I don't think, deep in me, I don't think Jamie would do that to Casey.
I don't think there's enough in that he would have some loyalty to the other dad. I think that, to me, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And that gets
so
to
I
our
think
best
that
scene.
Even though they're trying to paint it that way, I think we'll find out next season that it actually wasn't Jamie. And that maybe this attempt on all their lives kind of wakes Jamie up. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the best scene is that one in the governor's office. Where you have all of the factions working together and Jamie kind of getting something ground to stand on. I like how the governor has a funny line. She's like, well, I'm not afraid of gluten. Give me this, this, and this.
Right.
Like, I thought that was cute. And I thought that scene kind of sets up for a bigger play in season 4. And the fact that we don't really get answers in this episode.
Same here. I think that's the best scene. That's why I believe that John Dutton doesn't die.
There's no way he dies.
They left so much open. Like,
do you think somebody has to die?
Did
Beth
die? Either
Beth, Casey, or...
Did Casey?
I don't think they can kill any of those people. I think
neither
they're all
do
too,
I
think Rip would have been the one you could have killed, and you maybe could have got away with it. But the others, I don't know how you can...
I know.
The show doesn't continue without him, so I think they just shot a bunch of people who aren't going to die.
There's no question. There's no way Casey's bowing out of that. Come on.
No,
like,
no.
Casey
no.
ain't going down. I think Casey, with the whole governor run, is very interesting, if you want to talk about
story. They really
story
speed
arc.
Stuff up.
Like, yeah.
He's been, like, in that job for, like, a day.
I know.
And he gets that going. All right, moment
anyway,
you want to move to Montana.
gosh, I mean, it's to me, it's when the scenes like when Rip's driving through, like even though he has to go shoot the horse,
yep.
You're just like, it's. I'm telling you, it's whenever you see those. I wish people, like, if you haven't been there, I wish you could just drive for drive from Bozeman down to Big Sky.
Yeah.
And you've driven the whole damn state, so you know what it's yep. like. But, like, when you'll just out of nowhere, obviously you'll look around. There are parts that are obviously flat of Montana that I haven't been to. But when you see the mountains and the next thing you know, like, you look over and it's just crystal clear water just rapiding down. And you're like, oh, gosh, it's beautiful. Like, it's the scenery is unbelievable. The barns are unbelievable. The ranches are unbelievable. Food's unbelievable. It just all brings back a nice little memories. Oh, by the way, John Dutton can't die because he just told the guy, you think you're playing the game. You don't even know the rules. But don't worry, I'll teach you. Like,
I think the cell phone saving him probably also was funny. I would say that the Helena, Bozeman, there's so many great towns in Montana. They spent some time in Helena. Helena's great, too. Nobody goes to Helena, but Helena's great. And it'll be kind of, I think it could be the next kind of Montana boomtown. Uncle Bo, Montana fact checker. It's absolutely fact, like the cattleman guys, those ranchers explaining Montana politics. That is spot on.
I was going to thank you. I was going to ask you. This is the first show where maybe the second show. I had another question for you, so don't let me forget about it. It's about barbed wire.
Yeah.
But this is what the second That's show maybe on. Ever where I've been like, I wonder if they have that spot on about, you know, Dylan and the towns that will vote for versus the.
Yeah.
I love how you said if we get any snow, as long as elections are still in November,
yep.
we still run the state. I thought that was an awesome
they do.
Line.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's the way it is. Montana has been a conservative state for many, many years, despite an incredible, you know, California influx of population. It's still that runs the state, and
yeah.
that was spot on. The fast and loose with the mileage, again, it's about 3 hours from Helena to the Dutton Ranch, if we figure out where the Dutton Ranch is. So, like, a meeting with the governor that you think probably happens first thing in the morning, like 9 a.m., like, could they all be back to Bozeman and, like, the south of Livingston? By the time all of this murder and mayhem happens, I'd be dubious to think that they could pull that off. But you could. You just have to be really on it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you would never leave a horse dead to rot. Ever. Every rancher and farmer out there has a dump. And the dump is where you put the animals who perish. Like horses or
yep.
whatever. The carcasses go in the dump. They don't ever just lay out.
The dumps. Your stories about the
things
dumps.
Disappear in dumps.
Yeah,
you don't just leave a horse to rot on the side in your property. You would never yeah. do that. So while Rip's funny in that scene, that would not happen.
Yeah, that scene was tough.
Yeah, that what's your barbed wire question?
I was going to say, how much would it take me to have to pay you to barbed wire about 8 acres worth for my longhorns?
Give me the 34 and I'll do it. Then I'll do it. Episode grade. I'm never doing that again. Episode grade.
Oh, I loved that. Gave it an A because, like I said, there's so many questions. Like, and it was a perfect cliffhanger. Does Beth survive? Does Casey? Does John? I think all those answers are yes. Was it Jamie? I don't think so. My big prediction, I don't think it was Jamie. So was it Mark with Equities? Was it what happens with the tribes? I mean, there's so many. It's so open, but it was also so good.
We're way up against it. It's an A as well. But and I think who won the episode, who won the season. To me, the two biggest winners this season, by the time the season was over, are Jamie and Rip.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of been that. Jamie was nothing for a lot of it, but now getting his legs, to me, those are the two biggest winners of the whole season. It was great.
Casey's doing a great job, too, though.
Yeah, a lot of winners in this one.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Buckeyes. All Buckeyes. All the time. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
This was a team that by every measure overachieved what we thought it would do.
Yep.
I mean, I did not think this was going to be a play. I thought, play some relevant hockey in February. I did not think this was going to be a playoff team. I don't know if it would have been a playoff team had you had a standard playoff. But you get this incredibly satisfying victory over Toronto in the first round that goes a long ways and make you feel good about the way this season was. To me, this was an exceeding of expectations.
It was. And I think that's the hard thing is that you look at the season anyway. And going into the season, we said, look, if this team... I mean, realistically, you lost Brett, you lost Bob, you lost Duchesne. Dzingle, all these guys. And what you're saying to yourself is you're saying, gosh, we barely made it into the playoffs that year. How can we even repeat that? You know, getting to just sneaking into the playoffs with what you thought was less talent. And then the season started and you're like, okay, injury, injury, injury. And you're like, but they're still fighting. Right. They still have a chance. And so you're like, wow, it's unbelievable. They're overachieved. The fact that they still have a chance is even unbelievable. And you kind of felt with the way it was going with Seth going down that you were going to write the end of the season review as give Torts a hell of a lot of credit for his ability here to give him a lot of credit for his ability to keep this thing afloat and even competitive to the end. Like, you got to the last regular season week, and maybe they mm-hmm. missed by two games, and you're like, wow, he still deserves Coach of the Year with that. So then, you know, the pandemic happens, a lockdown happens, you come back, and you're like, oh, okay, now we're healthy again. You beat the Maple Leafs, who have stars, who is Canada's team. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, what are the possibilities here? And I think some of it was like you have in your mind, you know that you can beat Tampa Bay. Now things have to go a certain way. And trust me, there are parts in that series to where, yes, it should still bother you because there's a 5-on-3 you didn't capitalize. There's, you know, it's to me the Tampa series hurts because there was plays there that you were like, oh, we could have beat him again. Now, does this team win the Stanley Cup? Probably not. And you know, Shelly goes, I don't want them to win the Stanley Cup this year. I'm like, why? She goes, well, for what? A virtual Zoom parade? No. Like, I want to be able to celebrate if that's the case. I'm like, well, solid point out of you, but still, you want them to win it. She's like, nope. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, you take that stance.
She's so cutthroat. Here's the real question, though, because if you want a Stanley Cup parade, you say, are the pieces here for that to build for that to happen? Because that has to be the goal.
There are bits and pieces.
The goal, but more needs to be added. They have restricted free agents that are incredibly critical.
Yep.
When you talk about PLD and Josh Anderson and Gavrikov.
Yeah. And Gavrikov, that second D pairing, really, Savard, Gavrikov, that, we talk about Seth and Zach a lot, which we should, because I think both of them together are elite. But Gavrikov and Savard really gave you something, too, on that second D pairing that you would like to see Gavrikov stick around.
Yeah, you would. And you'd sure heck to like to see PLD be here for his entire career.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you want. You want him to continue to grow. Josh Anderson's a mystery. But I know this. You're better with him than you are without him. You've got the Seth Jones contract that's got to be done. That's next on the list, that extension. And in the meantime, you say to yourself, if we're going to win a cup, then we need more on the offensive end.
Yep.
We do. So where does that come from? And Yarmo said in his postseason press conference, look, not going to come free agency. So then you say, all right, trade is probably where it's going to come. You say, well, what do we have that people want? And I just look at net.
Yep.
And I go, well, you got two.
Which one are you going to deal?
Is that a luxury that we need to have?
Right. And that's the thing, though. Which one would you deal? Corpy gave you an outstanding postseason, and Elvis is young and looks like a rock star.
Right.
That's
why Yarmo Kekalainen gets paid the big bucks to make those type of decisions.
What do you think about
if that's the best way to acquire talent here, because I don't think you're going to get free agents without overpaying. So you're going to have to trade or develop. And the thing that you have that has the most value are those two goalies that you're willing to trade.
Yep. And I think real quick, because I know we're up against it, but I think that his thought process on making these young guys for instance, guys that didn't play in the bubble, or even guys that did, how he wants them. I don't know if you saw that, but he wants them to go play over in Europe. I mean, these European leagues are starting. I mean, some are starting September 1, some are starting October 1. Mm-hmm. So we've already seen JD and the Rangers send guys over and basically say, hey, you know, you didn't play a lot in the bubble. You haven't played since March. You're getting rusty. Go play over in Europe. And so whether it's the KHL, Finland, Swedish, the Switzerland leagues, these are all starting relatively soon. And you're not supposed to start really until December 1 is when the regular season starts. You know, camps will open on November 17th, allegedly, right? You already hear the NBA talk about pushing back. Who knows if hockey will. But if you are, like he mentions in here, he wants Bemstrom to go over there. He wants Cole Sherwood, a guy who didn't play. He wants Foodie, Robinson. He wants even Texier. Matisse Kivlenix. So you talk about maybe trading a goalie. It's not like Kivlenix when he came in, you know, when Corpy was hurt and when Elvis needed a break, Kivlenix wasn't just absolute trash. So I would argue that they have two established goalies, one being a rookie, and then they have another one in development, Kivlenix, who you'd be like, could he be your backup? You know, could you deal one
that's
of those? I think that's a place to look at. But I thought it was absolutely you could tell why Jarmo is the way he is, because he said everyone I've approached about going and playing in Europe has said yes. And he goes, and his quote was, and I don't know why you'd say no. I mean, if you don't want to go over there and play more hockey, then you're in the wrong business. And I was like,
That's right.
A GM comment. Like, it's such a GM comment. Like, what do you want to play more? Well, coach, I'm a little emotionally worn down from this whole bubble thing and trying to play, and I didn't play. Well, what do you mean, Jarmo? Go play in Europe. Do you want me to leave my family? Yes. Do you like hockey or not? That's the response.
That's right. To put a period on that thought, like Josh Anderson could go an entire year without playing. That might be what it is. He had surgery in December.
I know.
So that's kind of where you're at with that. Yep. So big heavy lifting for Jarmo this summer to get this team over the hump and make it a true contender. Because right now, I don't think it's a contender. Right now, it's a fun story every year. But in order to be a true contender, something has to be done to give it some more offensive firepower, whether it comes from within, but more likely from trade. And you have an ability to do that.
The best of Bishop and Laurinaitis.
So last night, I needed some defensive advice. For the flag football for the 8 and 6 year olds in terms of how to play it. We had a nice back and forth getting through some of the very base principles that we're going to use. Little scrimmage tonight for Black Cobra's team. We've got a game for Beamsy's team on Saturday for the 6 year old. So it's starting to ratchet it up a little bit here.
Look, you got to build. You got to build towards the season. You got to take little baby steps. And I'm just glad that. I'm glad that you might be the only person in the state of Ohio that's asking me for coaching advice. So I really appreciate it. It made me feel important.
Nobody else.
It made me feel like I actually might know something about ball. So I appreciate you
It'd be amazing if you just showed up for one of these games, like coach, like Trestle, like vest, and just like guest coordinator.
It'd be pure joy. It'd be pure joy, you know.
It'd be amazing.
It's amazing.
It's so amazing.
It'd be great.
Wait, is that what the hell is he doing here?
Yeah. What is he? Wait. What? What's he doing here?
And just have the exact same attitude of Luke when he coached you, like just treat 8-year-olds the way that Luke treats.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB. Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Do you think there's a such thing as overtraining?
Oh, yeah.
The amount of injuries that we've seen at the highest level of sport in the last year, and this is on our plate because of obviously what we've seen with the Browns, with Mac Wilson and Grant Delpit in a non-contact. I mean, it's the most innocuous play I could tell. He's going about half speed. He's backpedals. Does kind of like a karaoke move to backpedal the other way. And then just goes up and makes an interception and blows his Achilles. We've had Kevin Durant blowing Achilles. We've had all sorts of Klay Thompson. We've had all of these injuries to athletes in their prime at a young age. And I just wonder if the human body is being taxed too much, that it needs to rest. I mean, even Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, like the injuries that they've had.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just, I spent a lot of time around the Browns, so those are the ones I pay attention to. But I mean, this is probably an example you see throughout the league and throughout all leagues, NBA, all of it. Is it too much? Are we overtraining the human body?
We might be. I think training has gotten smarter, and I think that there's a fine line. There are just some things in sports, like the Achilles is almost something because it's a tendon. It's almost impossible to, like, usually you see Achilles getting popped on, like, a poor guy, Jay Richardson, who I played with, you know, tore his Achilles playing basketball the other day. you know, you kind of hear that. It's like usually people as they age, you know, in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and you're still trying to hoop or do stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's why I quit playing hoops.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
Yeah. Like, right, no one wants to go through that surgery. Right, the other day I jumped over, I climbed the split rail fence at 34 because I'm too lazy to open the lock on the gate. It's a process. You know, you get out of the car, you know, you do the code on the gate, you open it, and then you put the little stakes in the ground, keep it open, and then you get back in the car, drive through. It takes too much time. So sometimes I just jump the fence. I park right in front of it, you know, climb, jump, and I landed, and I started walking, and there was like a, it wasn't a pain, but it was like a little ache all the way up my left, you know, my left calf and heel. And I'm like, my goodness, if I did something to my Achilles here. But I forgot about it. I went and did sprints yesterday. So, I mean, it held up so far. Hopefully I'm not jinxing myself. I don't really believe in that, but it's all right. Anyway, but that's a terrifying thing. But some of these are just, you can't prepare for it. It's not a muscle, right? So what I expected more of, Bo, was like the muscle strains, right? Mm-hmm. Like guys, because it's different doing... It is different. You can train. You can run. You can do 20 half gassers, which was our conditioning test, right? You can do cut 300s. You can do all these things. You know, if you really want to figure all this out, you can do all that. However, you can only do it to a certain extent. You cannot put pads on, helmet, and go through the motions of, like, those are considered, some of those are like getting in shape condition-wise. So half gassers, right? You're doing them over and over with very few rests. I think our conditioning test used to be the first 10 half gassers was 30 seconds rest, right? With a half gasser, to those that are ignorant of it, or you basically run the width of the field, touch with your foot the line, and then run back. That's a half gasser. And you have to make it in a certain number of times. So like DBs would be like, I don't know, it's like 15, 17, 19, whatever, like big, you know, light, medium, big, whatever. 30 seconds rest. Second one would be you'd get 40 seconds rest. It's for the second 10. So like usually the first six, seven, eight, you're like, okay, I'm good. It's getting through 9 through 13, which are absolutely awful mentally. Because once you get to like 15, you're like, oh, we got five more. Come on, we got five more. I can see the light. You know what I mean? Like you can just,
yeah.
Basically, you tell yourself, just keep running. There's no burst left anymore. You tell yourself, get out, right? Get out the first 5-10 yards so that your momentum kind of carries you. Hit the line and try to get a good burst back, and then you can kind of coast in just in time, and then, you know, arms above the head, try to, you know, make your lungs bigger and all that fun stuff. But that doesn't necessarily help you when you're lining up at Mike linebacker and you're running full speed downhill to your left because you think it's a run play. Oh, it's a bootleg. Let me plant with my right foot, turn, run with the crosser deep, plant again, come back and try to go up and tackle a check down. Okay, yeah. That's one rep. Then go do it again. Okay, I'm running full speed up. Let me hit this guard, shed off him, throw. I lose my balance. I'm trying to collect myself. You plant a certain way. Let me try to burst and catch the running back. Boom. Okay, third play of it. Then you go fourth play. You're not training for that. Those are all systems of the body that are happening. Now, if you told me to get out there on a field and I was going to run cover two the whole time, right, and just run the middle of the field with a wide out doing a vertical, okay, that's easy. I won't hurt myself doing that. Why? Because I just did 20 sprints. You know, like I can do that, but it's the tweaking, it's the turning. He could be in unbelievable, fantastic physical shape, but that certain turn and jumping off his foot that certain way, which he hasn't done in forever, and he could have done that at any certain time. Those are the injuries to me that frustrate me. I expect the ones about, you know, like AJ Green, soft tissue, all that. Those are, and some guys are just prone to that because they're wound so tight, they're so springy. But it's there are certain things, right, that you can watch that clip over and over and over, and guess what? You're going to watch probably tomorrow or today at practice, you're going to watch someone do that same exact move and not tear his Achilles over and over and over and over.
Oh, like, no. Why? Yeah, there's no... I think what happened to Delpit is totally freak. What I think is... Yeah. What I do think is prevalent in... I mean, it's just bad luck that all of this has happened to the Browns. And they, again, I mean, it's not just that. Like, Greedy Williams out of practice today. Terrence Mitchell's out of practice. They've just been decimated in the first 2 weeks. It's random. It happens. Sometimes you wonder if you're cursed. But I am curious about if in general in society, the overtraining of athletes is leading to more cataclysmic injuries quicker. I'm talking about Tommy John's in baseball for high school kids. I'm talking about Achilles for Durant and Thompson and the huge injuries that we've seen. These guys are playing. There was no Achilles. I don't recall. Now, I wasn't covering sports like I am now, but I don't recall a bunch of Achilles injuries when I was a kid in pro basketball. I don't recall season-ending knee injuries the way that we have them in basketball now. But we didn't train the way we did. I mean, when Larry Bird's season was over with the Celtics, he mowed his own lawn and drank beer.
Yep.
He wasn't on a regimen with a personal trainer and a dietitian. Now, that doesn't mean that we're smarter, right? But I do wonder if we're doing too much, if the human body needs to break, and if we're doing too much too soon. I mean, kids can't get away. I'm running into it with the boys. Like, people want to play these sports year-round. Like, 8-year-olds playing baseball year-round. 6-, 7-year-olds playing baseball year-round, playing hockey year-round. Like, where do they grow? Is it too much on the body? And do you pay the price for that in your 20s? Because nobody blows their Achilles at 21. I mean, that didn't happen 15 years ago.
Yep.
Achilles injury was an extreme, shocking injury when it happened. Yeah. It was so rare that it happened.
It is shocking that it's happening more and more. And there is an overtraining aspect of it. Like, my dad used to make me take extended. Like, you talk about kids with Tommy John. Like, no kid should have Tommy John. They're throwing way too much.
There are people whose kids are in high school. Who get elective Tommy John because they think they come back throwing harder.
Yeah.
We did a story on this at Channel 10 when I was like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
The kid's getting elective Tommy John at 16, 17.
Let me tell you
And
something.
There's no dual sporting anymore. There's none of that.
No.
Like, you sport only, which is nuts.
I am so against it. And my dad was so against it even back then. Like, there was a lot of pressure in Minnesota, even back when I was in high school and middle school, to play for club hockey. Like, Minnesota high school hockey is phenomenal, but you play club in the summer, year-round. Like, my buddy tried to play, he played football, hockey, club hockey, like, he never had a break. And my dad's theory was, like, you need to chill out. Like, there needs to be a break. Like, you can play football, break, hockey, break, baseball, break. You know, like, just relax. And as you get to high school and you're a little older, they overlap, right? So you keep going and going and going, but my buddy was trying to play high school or baseball in the summer, and by my buddy it was Blake Wheeler, and then played Blades hockey. And my dad would get furious, and he would end up benching him in baseball because he was missing baseball games to go play AAA hockey. And then my dad's thought process was, this ain't hockey season.
Yeah.
This is baseball season. Like, you're doing your select thing on your own. If you're not going to be a part of this team and I'm in charge of this team, then if you're going to miss a tournament, then you know you're going to miss a game coming back. Someone else deserves to play who's been here, has been committed. And Jim Wheeler was my dad's, assistant coach, and they got in plenty of arguments over it. I remember them. But looking back, Blake's captain of the Winnipeg Jets, but not every kid is, right? How many kids on those team aren't that? So I was thrust in the play as many things as possible, and I believe that to my core, that there are things that I learned in hockey that have definitely benefited me when I played football. Talking about the ability, I think my hand-eye coordination is 10 times better, being able to see things in your peripheral and your eye training, which is funny. When you go into an NFL facility, now I'm sure you've seen it, and sometimes they have it in the indoor facilities. It's like this big black like square board with a bunch of little lights on it, and you'll see players kind of standing in front of it, and they basically are told to stare straight ahead, and then you just react and tap all around you, and it's working on hand-eye coordination. A lot of receivers, DBs use it, right? So what, you turn your head around, boom, ball's there, you catch it. Like, it's just reaction time. And you can see your progress as you go, and you can see how when you're tired, how you're slower on it. When you're refreshed, you're faster. Like, all these little things that factor into your reaction time. But I think playing hockey, being forced to stick handle, keep my head up, where's the puck, there's people, there are people moving, boom, helps you see lots of things very easily without overreacting when you're at middle linebacker diagnosing everything. You could handle it. Or, for instance, when you're skating backwards and a fast guy is coming, okay, I'm not that quick. I got to transition from skating backwards, open my hips, and sprint to that post to cut off the angle. Well, that's going to help me when I take the right angle running because I'm not going to run a 4-3. I can't take that poor angle. I better take a damn good angle to make sure I make it a 2-yard gain, because if I try to make it a 0-yard gain, he's going to get the corner on me because I'm not that fast. So all these things help you versus just being so selective. And I loved it because in high school and middle school, it gave me groups of friends. There was a couple of us that crossed over from football to hockey. And there were the guys that were hockey to baseball. So there's some friends that carried over, but it opened you up to a social groups to where you weren't just in one little clique, which I love too.
The one thing on that, though, really quickly, is you are an elite athlete. You are a professional athlete. You have athleticism that 1% of the American society has. You have the ability to be able to do most. Most kids don't have your ability, and because of the way that youth sports is, they don't even get the chance to play the other sports. Because the fear is, if I don't just play this, I can't play anything. That's what happens. I see it. I see it every day. With my buddy's kids, I see it constantly. Like, if they skip this, if they skip one season of this, then they're done. And this starts at age 8, 6, 7.
And you know what's
like,
weird about all that?
The people like you, there might be one or two kids, and there's not one or two kids in most schools in Ohio that are like you, but there's one or two kids who are the best athletes in every class that can cross over and bounce around, and they're fine. The rest of them are holding on for dear life to one.
Yeah.
And that stinks.
I get
that.
The unique thing is that I never, ever thought I was like some pro athlete or special. And the reality is that I was, and here's why. I was never the best kid on my hockey team. There was three or four that went that were way better than me. Now I was all conference and all state, but I was never like I told you, we had Blake Wheeler, we had Kurt Davis, who's still playing pro in Sweden. We had Joey Miller, Tony Lucia. Yeah. They both play at the University of Minnesota. I never got offered in Minnesota, right? I got offers, you know, to other smaller D1 schools, but not the University of Minnesota. They didn't offer me.
Right.
Then, you know, you look broad picture. There are guys that, I mean, I played football with Dominic Barber, who was better than me when we were on the same team together. Played safety in Minnesota. But he was better at me at the time. You know, I would say he was more valuable to our team than I was. He was our starting running back and safety. You know, I was just a Mike linebacker and tight end. So I would say he was more valuable. There's a running back, Quinn Hendel, who was 6'3", you know, 215, and could run legit like a high 4.4, low 4.5. And if he could diagnose any play in the world, he could have been an outside linebacker and been elite. He was our running back after Dom and was just a stud, but got into trouble off the field, you know, as far as you know, underage drinking, stuff like that. And next thing you know, he just says, forget football. Like, every team I was on, I was never the best. It was never a moment.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Where it was like, oh, that kid's going to be just absolutely elite. So I just kept playing sports because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy these because I'm not sure. I never even had the pressure on myself to be a college athlete. It just happened.
Right. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
How are you living?
Pure suck.
Yeah? What happened?
Yep. Awful.
Explain.
Awful. Oh, just an awful day yesterday. Just brutal.
Oh.
Absolutely brutal. Million roadblocks, HOA headaches.
Headaches.
Oh, those are the worst.
Gosh.
Those are the worst.
Gosh,
I'll
tell you
brutal.
What. You know what? I got, you know what? That reminds me. The amount of stuff that, by the way, I don't know if you're this way, but the amount of stuff that has found its way into our family calendar is kind of like, this would have never been the case, you know, if we did not have all these restrictions, you know? So for instance, we got Zoom calls scheduled that we totally forget to do. Like last night was supposed to be a Zoom call with like Hayden's teacher and protocols and all that. And it's one of those, you know, when they say, if you can make it in quotes, it kind of like puts down your urgency to actually make it. It's like 6:40 last night. And I'm like, oh man, I missed this is where my head was at. I missed the virtual presentation that Dublin was having on, you know, where Post Road hits 33. And
yeah,
like, so you go 33 up the Post Road, and it's like, it's so rural, right? It was rural, and now they have University of Ohio Dublin out there, and they have the whole Dublin Green development out there with Costco and all that, right? So that's probably all new since you know, you were a lifer out here in the good old Dublin. But when
that's
intersection, they're redoing it. So like, if you remember, like if you were coming down Highland Croy, turn right on Post, you'd have to turn left on the 33, and you'd sit there forever and wait. Well, they're changing that into a whole new interchange. Like, how are we going to do new exit ramps, entrance ramps? Like, it's growing. We need to do this. And I was like, well, I want to see when this is happening. You know, this is a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal. Then my wife's like, oh, gosh, I have the 7 o'clock Zoom meeting with the teacher. Again, this is 6:40. Mm-hmm. And she goes, all right, thanks for reminding me. I come upstairs, you know, from playing with the girls in the basement at like 7:30. I was like, how's the Zoom call? She goes, oh, crap. Totally forgot. I mean, how'd you? That's 20 minutes. How'd you? Anyway, that's where we're at.
The steady diet of Zoom calls with teachers, with schools.
Yep.
I've got a 3-hour Zoom call tonight so that I can coach Catholic football kids.
3 hours.
That sounds fun.
That's exciting.
I have three of these. Three straight hours.
Find 3 hours to sit in one. You kidding me?
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And apparently it's one where I actually have to like pay attention because there's like breakout meetings. Like, yeah. It's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts. But so what I was dealing with yesterday, in addition to HOA headaches, I had some what appeared to be – we had some trees cleared, and I had some water that was coming – that looked like it was coming up from the ground.
Ooh, that's
And nice. I'm thinking to myself, first of all, hey, that's not good. Then I have a full-on panic. So I'm like, oh, my God, did somebody hit a septic line? Like, I have no interest in getting into that. I'm no interest in getting into that type of situation.
No.
So then I'm on the phone with the septic guys like, listen, your line is 6 feet deep. The odds of – it's almost – there's just no scenario where something would disrupt it. It's so far down.
Right.
So that was an incredible relief that that wasn't happening. Meantime, I'm in my yard and I'm like, there is a ton of small, like medium-sized rodent droppings, more than ever, like
Ooh.
More than I've ever seen.
Ooh.
And I'm pretty diligent about keeping an eye on this. But I'm like, this is, there was, I ended up taking out the shovel, 6 different droppings,
you need a dog,
locations.
Bro.
And I do this every day. You're right, I do need a dog. So last night, the day is in, it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, what is going on out there? Because it's obviously not happening in the day because we have windows to it all the time and we can see it. So what is going on out there? Well, sure enough, there's skunk. And I've had the skunk issue for a while now. So I went to bed around 11:30. Skunk was out there. I flashed the light on it. It went away.
Yeah.
I got up this morning at 5:30. Another skunk out there.
Oh.
It's like a skunk party going on in the backyard.
My goodness. That's not good.
Yeah.
You know what they said? They
that's
said,
not
gosh,
great.
This Bishop estate looks lovely. Let's settle down here. That's what they said.
I think you're right, and I think they're saying, and now I got to get on my landscape guy because I think what's going on is he told me he sprayed for insects, but it's not. So there's got to be some insects that they're crushing in this lawn. That's got to be what's going on.
Yeah.
So now I'm on the phone this morning at 7 a.m. with rodent control because we got to trap these things. My wife goes, she starts yelling at me because she's got my oldest son's buddies coming over to slip and slide, and tomorrow she's like, you can't have traps all over the yard with his buddies around. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
What's the problem? Like, nature versus nurture. Nature always wins. Let's show them what real life's all about right now.
Right.
So then I had to delay it, of course, because she wins that conversation. And this is when it's time for First Friday? Yeah, right now. Pour 4 fingers. Let's go.
Let's go. Boom. Strong. In the coffee. Let's go. Tear it up. look, I have a female Rottweiler who's great with kids. All she wants is some belly rubs.
Oh, my gosh.
You can borrow her for a weekend. She'll mark all over that place. Now,
that's what
my recommendation is, don't, you know, let her go pee in the same spot. You got to keep the lawn luscious, you know. That's the thing about dog urine. A little bit in one spot, it's actually great. It fertilizes, builds it up. Let her go in the same spot over and over, and you're going to burn it out. So on National Dog Day, I think we need to get you a dog that will clear the skunks.
Is today National Dog Day?
It is.
You're right.
Which I feel happens 4 times a year, by the way. But
probably.
My neighbor here has... he is so particular about his lawn. Mows it. I'm not exaggerating. When we normally have rain, which we haven't had in Dublin. I mean, I know it rained in Franklin County yesterday. Not in Dublin. Not in our neighborhood.
Dry. It's been dry.
It may have rained at Avery, but I swear, like Muirfield, every time I see the clouds come in, I'm like, oh, my little dark sky. Rain starting in Dublin. I'm like, I'm not here. Not at this address. anyway, neighbor's daughter has a German. And this German is just an absolute beast. And all of a sudden, like, girls are outside the other day, and I hear the squeaky. I'm literally thinking the German is playing with a squeaky toy, okay?
Yeah.
No, it found a mole. That thing tracked down a mole, grabbed it,
right,
and kept playing with it, pawing it, tying it, tossing it in the air like a cat. And I'm like, you know what? So that's what came to mind. Maybe you can borrow her German, but problem with her German is it's not really kid-friendly. So,
well,
you know.
I mean, honestly, that would be okay for a little bit, too.
You need yourself.
I'm pretty sick of the act of the boys at the moment. So yeah, I mean that would be okay too.
You need yourself some kind of dog to kind of take care of that. But yeah, anytime water seeps up, that's not a good thing. I can deal with almost anything, but like when I have water coming from somewhere, that's not great.
And that's scary. So what I found out is that when they chopped up the trees and they mulched them, and I put a pile because I'm going to spread it in the woods as mulch. And when I did that, they blocked a water path that was leading. There was a yard drain, and so that's what that's what it was from. I took a shovel out there and I said, it's coming from underneath here, and it's manifesting through the ground here. So I'm like, okay. So I didn't. That was, disaster averted.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more terrifying than, oh my God, something's wrong with your septic.
Yeah.
Like the amount of problems that can happen there, and the amount of cost that can happen there. And, yep. And the problem with that is like, if you're ever in a situation when you have septic problems, forget it.
Yep.
Like, what would you pay to fix it? Anything?
Right.
What do you want, a kid? Do you want a kidney?
Liver? No doubt.
What do you need?
Yep.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Give me anything you need.
Yep.
You got to solve this right now. You got to get here right now. There's no such thing as like a casual septic problem.
Right.
It's a septic emergency.
Bishop and Laurinaitis is presented by Window Nation. Searching for a replacement window? Visit windownation.com today. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on The Fan. Time to head on to the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brian Hedger covers the Jackets for the Dispatch, and he joins us. All right, we've had a little time to reflect on what happened in the bubble. Brian, I'm mostly satisfied in terms of the talent on this roster and what they were. I understand the bitterness from Tortorella in the way that it ended, but also satisfied, I think, in the result of the team. And I think they met the expectations I had. You covered them on a daily basis. Did this team meet the expectations you had for it?
I think they exceeded the expectations. And I was one of the people that actually thought they had a chance to make the playoffs. Originally, but when you, after losing Panarin, losing Duchesne, losing, Bob, all those guys, I mean, I people thought I was crazy, but you look at it and they did still have a strong core. But I wasn't, 100% convinced that there was going to be a playoff season. So I would have to say that they exceeded expectations this season, especially when you consider not only those free agent departures, but all the injuries. I mean, the injuries were ridiculous this year. I mean, they starting in like December and going all the way until the pause for the pandemic. I mean, they were without there were parts where they were without half of their NHL roster, and they still found ways to win games.
Brian, some big restricted free agents. Just what's your feel right now on Josh Anderson? I mean, it's such an unknown with him, with the respect of we saw what the postseason was a year ago and the freight train of a power forward he is. Before he got hurt this season, kind of was not producing to that same level. And now you have a guy that you're wondering, gosh, what was he the one piece, if he was healthy, right, to kind of help you in that series against the Lightning? They felt like they were maybe one forward away. Just what's your feel on the Jackets' commitment to Josh Anderson and whether he'll be back or not?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a really interesting one to watch because for a number of reasons. I mean, there is history there as far as not a great, negotiating history, I guess you'd say, with his agent, Darren Ferris, and the Blue Jackets, as far as Josh Anderson goes. I mean, he did have the, I guess you'd call it maybe not necessarily a holdout, but he missed all of training camp, in 2017, 2018, and actually missed the first couple of games as well, trying to get a new contract done, which is his current contract, which is about to run out. Like you mentioned, he's kind of a unicorn a little bit, among hockey players because he's got that size and he's got the speed and he also has some pretty good hands and a really hard shot as well. I mean, it's a combo that you just don't see very often in the NHL anymore. I mean, this is a league that keeps getting smaller and faster and more skilled and all that. Well, this is a guy who's got pretty much all of it, and he gets up and down that wing impressively. So you look at those two factors. On the one hand, you have a unique player who, it would be great to keep him around, but he's probably going to ask for a decent amount of money, in the negotiation. He does have arbitration rights, I believe. And on the other hand, if you're the Jackets, what do you do? Do you try and go after him or do you try and use him as a trade chip, potentially? to find maybe a top six center who's more consistent than an Alexander Wenberg or any other options that they have on the roster for second line center. So I think that's going to be an interesting one. You know, he's only got one more year, I think, until unrestricted free agency, Josh Anderson, that is. And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think that's one of the more interesting ones because he could be a trade chip or he could be a long-term piece.
Brian, this is a critical moment for the franchise because, and you weren't here at the time, but this was a franchise that could never find its way, and it was starting, restarting, stop, restart, rebuild over and over and over again. Then JD and Yarmo got here, and it was like, okay, we're stable. There's an incredible farm system that they've built. There's a ton of talent in it that keeps coming up. The goalie position, the best example of that, where you lose a two-time Vezina winner and you're fine. So that gives you an example of what you are. But I also think it's critical that this organization does not become the Oakland A's, where you just have a farm system that develops guys for other teams around the league. And when you talk about Josh Anderson, PLD, Seth Jones down the line, who's obviously acquired via trade, they've got to keep these guys here because this still is not a free agent destination, not at the elite level. It just hasn't been. So they've got to keep them here, and then they've got to find a way to add to it. And I would think that would be via trade, would be the most straight way to do that. How critical is this summer, next? This, if you're going to build a Stanley Cup contender, I think some of the pieces are here, Brian, but you've got to keep all these guys and you've got to add to it and you've got to do it now.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, on the podcast that Mike Arace and I from the Dispatch just recorded the other day, we talked about this. And you know, Mike made the point, and he's absolutely right, that like, you know, Seth Jones is going to be a free agent before you know it, a UFA. And you've got to give him a reason to, other than just, you know, the fact that Columbus is a nice town, that you've got a nice solid base here, you know, you could be the man, all that kind of stuff. You got to give him a reason to believe that on this next contract, I mean, if you don't win before the next contract, that in this next contract, you're going to win. Like, you have a great chance to win the Stanley Cup. And because, I mean, he is just such an outstanding player. He is an elite player in the league, and he's a guy that you build around. And I think that they realize that. You know, but and it's not just him either. You know, Werenski's going to be a free agent before you know it. And PLD is a restricted free agent right now. Like you said, they have a lot of really nice pieces right here. But they do need to figure out how to take that next step. And I know that they do believe very strongly in their system. And in what they have been able to build here. And you do have to at least give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on that, just because of what you said. You know, before Yarmo got here, it was all over the map, and they were almost never good. Only a couple of years. Now they're pretty much good every year. They're good enough to like be a playoff contender every year, and I think that's progress. But you're right. I think this is an important offseason. They got to go out. I just feel personally that they need to find a legitimate second-line center somewhere and then go from there. You have the goaltending. You have depth. Maybe you use your goaltending depth to try and find a second-line center and pick a guy and then you know, use the depth that you have behind these two to fill in. They have to find a second-line center from somewhere who's going to consistently, you know, kind of be that – I mean, I hate to say Duchesne, he's not here anymore, but he gave them what they needed in that playoff run last year.
Brian, real quick, you mentioned the goaltender. It's a twofer for you. Are you confident enough in Kiv Lennox to be an everyday backup for you to deal one of those guys? And if which one are you dealing? You are the GM. Which one are you dealing, Elvis or Corpy?
It's a great question and a hard one. How do you pick between those two guys? I mean, they really, at separate times, have just both looked outstanding. And I don't think you can really lose with that one. If you trade one away, I think the other one, whichever one you hold on to, is going to do it for you. And it's going to be the guy. With Kivlinix, so if I'm going to pick one, I'm probably going to stick with Elvis just because of the – I think there's another gear there that when he really gets locked in, I mean, he is almost unbeatable with a good defense in front of him. Korpisalo is not far off, though. And so if they were to keep Korpisalo, I could completely see why they would do that as well. I mean, I think you have two young stars there. As far as Merzlikins go, Kip Lennox goes, I think that he's. I mean, if you talk to Manny Legacy, the goaltending coach, he's one of the first guys he brings up and says, you know, Everybody overlooks Matisse Kivlenyk. Everybody. He goes, that guy is an NHL goaltender. He's going to be. So they're pretty confident in him. And then, I mean, you got other guys, too. Vinny Vivalainen, they love him as well. He dominated the Finnish league and then played at Cleveland this year. And they like that Daniil Tarasov, who's their top goaltending prospect, 6'4", athletic, from the same hometown as Bob. I mean, they've got depth at goaltending. So that's one area where, you know, if they do make a choice there, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I would agree. Great stuff, Brian. Really appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, that's Brian Hedger that covers it.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back is with the dispatch.
You want to do a spelling bee? Do those goalie last names.
Yeah, good luck with that. No thanks. Poor Dommy. I remember Dommy used to, when those names would come up on the prompter, he'd be just like, oh, who the hell, man. So as soon as we could get a nickname for him, the better.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Football is here. It will be here in 10 days. No preseason games. So a lot of these teams want to get into stadiums and scrimmage and try to give a game-like atmosphere for really not just for the players and the coaches, but also, you know, for stadium ops. What does it look like? What does it sound like? They've hired sound engineers in these places. So they treated them like games is what they tried to do. And in Cincinnati, that meant Joe Burrow. And Zach Taylor was asked about Burrow and if he feels comfortable with him being the starter week one. Here's what he had to say.
It's command of the offense, leadership in the huddle, understanding of what he's got to do to move this offense, his competitiveness, his urgency. Certainly there's areas to clean up. There's no question about that, but he's got a great grasp, you know, just going over the call sheet with him today before the scrimmage. We're in sync in terms of how we see things and think of things. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to be on the field too much together, but it is important to start to see things the same way. And so I really feel like we're making a lot of progress in that direction. So he's just been impressive. You know, he's what we expected when we took him number one overall. Hasn't disappointed. One day he's been out there.
That's incredible stuff. And here was Joe after the scrimmage and what he was unhappy about.
We had some guys out. We weren't live, so, you know, it's tough to run the ball when any kind of touch is a tackle. And then, you know, we didn't execute the way we needed to. I didn't execute the way that I needed to. So I know, you know, not everybody was happy with how we played today.
Have you ever the rise that he's had?
No. No, and he sounds like a vet already.
He does.
When you listen to his demeanor, says all the right things, and it's going to go a long way. The hard thing for these coaching staffs right now, I think, is that there are no officials allowed due to COVID.
Right.
Like the amount of you're used to having local college officials at every single practice, officiating stuff. Like we had them at every single practice in St. Louis in camp. And you'd get a report on penalties, and it was a huge benefit because you could go and ask, you know, little things like, okay, well, why'd you call this? Why didn't you call this? You know, and you had feedback on, like, where the refs, like, Fisher used to go through it all the time, where the refs' eyes were looking. So he would actually tell guys, like, here's the part in the play, James, you can get away with holding the running back because the umpire's eyes are going to go from you on the running back to the center to here, you know. So at this part, you know, grab him before he gets through the line because once that happens, you know, he's going to be looking, you know, for any holding downfield. Like he would actually teach you where, like, position specific, where the refs are actually trained to look. And so, I mean, because it would help offensive tackles. Like, oh, tackles don't have a chance. They have an official on you watching for holding every single, you know, all the way through the pass. So he'd say, you know, like, you guys can't afford, but guards? A little leeway. We got one official looking at the three interiors, you know. So it was fascinating to kind of to hear that stuff. Well, these guys don't have that benefit right now. And so I was reading the article about the scrimmage, and he said, you know, there were some plays were disputed, and Joe's interception was disputed whether it be PI or not. Well, you got to assume it wouldn't have been. You know, you can't get into bad habits because that's what this is going to allow you to do, right? Especially on defense. If you have an official or a guy who's working or playing the official, a coach, and he happens to be a defensive coach, well, that ain't PI. Well, now the DB gets in really bad habit of holding too much, of grabbing, tugging, because you know they're not throwing it as coaches. But would a real official throw that flag? And now you have bad habits you're trying to get out of in week one, two, three. So that's where it's hurting these players.
Yeah, it is. And it's the one thing that I think from it, and we've mentioned this before in respect to Burrow and Taylor, they will get to grow together.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same coaching staff. It's going to be the same offense for 5 years. Mike Brown's not firing people. He's not paying people not to coach. So Zach Taylor's going to be the coach there for Joe's really entire NFL gestation period here. And that's a remarkable advantage. That's a remarkable advantage for him. And so they will be able to walk step in step.
As a Bengals fan, though, last year, drop passes were an issue. From everything it sounds like, drop passes were an issue in this scrimmage. This is the last scrimmage before kickoff, if you're a Bengals fan. And one of the things you kind of thought about as a Bengals fan, you're thinking about just stay healthy. Well, in the second scrimmage, which really would be your third preseason game, right? Like they touted this as kind of like their third preseason game, right? This is their dress rehearsal.
This is the walkthrough. Yep.
Yes. This was their dress rehearsal. And you don't have Carlos Dunlap, John Ross, Joe Mixon, or A.J. Green. So if you have Joe Burrow out there trying to do, like, sure, you can go full speed reps and practice, but not scrimmage reps. And it is different. You can say, hey, we're going to go thud this period versus knowing that you're in scrimmage mode. Those are different tempos. And you didn't have Joe Burrow out there with A.J. Green, Mixon, or Ross on your starting offense. That's concerning.
Yep.
This is a very light training camp. This is a very light training camp.
Oh, it's so extreme. It's hard to even wrap your head around it. I mean, you know, in Cleveland, they've missed 3 hours of padded practice. They have they've had one. They were yesterday at the stadium. We'll get into this in a second. I was actually fortunate enough to be there, where it was the only time that they took guys to the ground. And even then,
it was sort of. I mean, you're
no,
up there
definitely
with,
not
the owner.
Definitely,
you know, you're
no,
up there with
no.
The owner.
Ownership isn't even tier one. Ownership's tier two.
Well, you're even higher than Haslam. That's crazy.
Please.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Nice little weekend. Get a nice little weekend in up there.
Great weekend. Yeah, what do I do? I don't know. It's the same stuff over and over. What do we do?
We were up at my wife's aunt and uncle's place in Sandusky. And they're right on Sandusky Bay. And you kind of zip around, and you Cedar Point's like 5 minutes. You just zip around, and Cedar Point's right there, and then they're out. You can see like Johnson's Island. And we'd go up to the lake from time to time and have a place up there. But I had never seen this particular part. And as you go out into Sandusky Bay, kind of out towards Johnson's Island, there were 300 boats kind of all tied together on a sandbar, which I'd done in Florida. A lot? Have you ever done that? I'm sure you did that growing up in Minnesota. You had places with sandbars and you'd all tie up.
Big Island, Lake Minnetonka, you know?
There you go.
Kind of the lake made famous by Bryant McKinney. But yes, go on.
But my... I was like, God, this is fantastic. Like, these people are living a hell of a life right now. You just forget about... Then you're reminded of all the chaos and everything else that's going on and a thousand questions about if football's going to happen and amidst, you know, a Brown... At the time, thinking that the Browns were going to be shut down and all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, these guys don't have a care in the world. They're living their best life. They're out here on boats in the middle of a sandbar. And I'm convinced that that's a pretty good way to go about summer.
It is. I think boats... Buddy, I tell you what. I think about this all the time. You know, I right next on the 34, we have the barn, and then we have where the old, it was a metal storage unit is what it was, but it had like front garage, back garage. I really wish it was still up, and the reason why we had somebody take it down was multiple reasons. We were going to develop this land initially into a neighborhood, and then you start getting in the development costs without sewer lines there, and you're like, gosh, I'm not sure that's really worth it. The county asks for certain things which you think are ridiculous, like widening an entire road frontage for just 14 houses. You're like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to do something that you should be doing anyway. Like, your roads haven't been touched since 1964, so that's on you.
Right.
But anyway, it's funny because it's also still Dublin School. So you feel like it looks so country out there, but it's Dublin School District. But anyway, so you're going to do all that. And so while you're going through the process of developing, some guy comes in from Indiana through a friend of a friend, and he's like, I'll take that building down for free. And you're like, well, it beats us having to pay to have somebody demolish this thing. Right?
Yeah,
so they
come
out
and they
take
it anyway.
It's a huge win. Well, now that I said, screw it, and I'm keeping it, now you're like, oh man, I could have stored a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, gosh, a lot of toys.
Yeah, a lot of toys. Yep, it's anything, right? Like, and it would have opened up anyway. But regardless, that there is a rock pad there, still sitting there, pretty. As I move all the wood and stack it, which I'm almost
there,
done, by the way, I'll send you a photo. But I mean, it's unbelievable how much damn wood from all those damn ash trees, and I got three more dead ash trees to cut anyway. But I was like, well, we do have a little pad here, a little area here that would be nice for a nice little pole barn if you ever wanted to get a boat, which my wife constantly.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Is saying we should get a boat and just take it to different lakes nearby, you know, whether in Michigan or take it up to, yeah, I'm like, just say when, essentially. What are we talking about? Boat, jet skis, let's go live. Let's live.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I'm still very much in a summer rhythm, and I don't find myself looking for sports. And I don't know if it's because of habitually this is a time of year where I don't normally watch, or if I've just become accustomed. I got so used to for 4 months of nothing being on. I don't know which it is. But I do find myself kind of like not being as intently pursuing it as I would have had it aired when it's supposed to air.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because I think here in this state especially, we usually are at a moment where it's like, let's enjoy the rest of the summer activities that we have until we get to fall when we have games. You know, so it's like, hey, camp starting, there's good news about, you know, Buckeyes, there's good news about the Bengals, Browns, all that, and we know the weather is going to turn into the beautiful falls that we have here. But those summer weekends before school, it's kind of starts and all that. It's like, let's enjoy these last few because we know once, like, fall is beautiful, but once it gets to that winter, it's going to be bad for a while. It's going to be gray. Gray season will start. And so there is a part of me that still feels like I'm like we're just naturally in that. Which then, if you want to go even deeper picture, that is why sports don't work in Los Angeles unless you are absolutely the cool thing to do. Because they get weather like this all the time, even better, like because they don't have this humidity. So,
right
there, you get perfect weather like this on a weekend, whether it's fall, summer, like so. That's why, unless you are the absolute cool thing to do, why would I go to a Chargers game or a Rams game? Why would I go to a
no
Lakers
question
game if they stink? I'm not going inside. Yeah. Why would I go in a building to watch the Lakers unless it's the place to be seen? So,
right
here, I think what we're dealing with is like we only have a certain number of weekends, like. No matter what, school started today at Dublin, at Hilliard, so it might be virtual, but those parents, you know, that are trying to work from home and trying to figure out a way to do all this stuff from home, right, especially with young kids. If you have high schoolers, they can figure out how to coordinate all that on their own. But if you have young kids in the house, that's still a stressful day for you to do the virtual stuff. So the weekends when you're finally free now, you're not trying to hunker down and watch a marathon afternoon basketball game. It's probably the last thing on your mind because it's not normal anyway. You're waiting for football.
No, exactly. When I was at Channel 10, this is when Uncle Dom would always take vacation this time. He'd take 2 weeks, in early August. And it was really the last throes of summer. And it was be outside as much as you can, get to a lake, be outside, be in the sun, do all of these things because you know.
I tell you what, I need that.
Oh, that's always
I need
a win.
That in my life. Yeah. I told my wife last night, I said, there's a couple things that we got. If we're going to do vacations, you know, if we're blessed to do 2 or 3 vacations a year, whatever you want to do. If you want to do one, it's one. But if it's one, I know I'm going to lose because it's going to mean we're going to a beach, right? Like, she's going to win.
Right.
That's what she wants. She wants beach. She wants beach. Yep. I want mountains. We could both kind of agree on a lake. So I think that's where you're like, oh, man. But if I could get all three, oh, man.
Yep.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. So that I think that's true. It's hard for me even as I've enjoyed the basketball at night or even enjoying the Blue Jackets and the run when they were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I did find myself almost forcing myself to watch it. It wasn't something. Do you understand? Does that make sense?
Yes.
I wasn't craving. I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to watch this game, the Jackets game tonight. Which, if that would have taken place in April when it was supposed to take place and the weather's crap, I would have. You can't wait to watch a Jackets game at night. But I found myself being like, forcing myself to. All right, I gotta watch this. I gotta watch this. Then once you watch it, you get into it, of course. But I do not have the same zest for it that I would have had if it was in the regular calendar year, because of the weather. I think that's it. And I just and even the stuff that's happening at night, it just seems like it's the wrong time of year for it. And you say, well, you're a man, you're 40, you got 40 years of habits, sports viewing habits that you're trying to break based on pandemic. And I do think the NFL will benefit tremendously from this because their schedule's the same.
Yep.
It's the same. It's the same. Yep. It's when we expect it to be, in the fall.
Yep.
On Sundays and probably Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday.
Once sports started back up, I was like, I think the ratings are going to go through the roof because sports fans are just they're just craving it.
Right.
They're craving it. And what you've seen is, well, I think there's a natural rhythm to some of this. And the NBA... I've been shocked that even now that it's in the playoffs that the ratings have been... NHL doesn't surprise me. NHL is a selective fan base anyway. It's hit or miss for some people.
Although I think the NHL is a lot like baseball really quick in this, in that in our country at least, not in Canada, not in the hockey-mad places, but I think by and large it's a lot like baseball where you care about your team in your town, and when that goes away, you're done. Like, that's my guess would be the Stanley Cup playoffs in Columbus would do nothing from a ratings. I could be wrong. Swally at Channel 4 could correct me because they'll have them. But my guess is once the Blue Jackets are eliminated, then the ratings plummet because I think that people, by and large, people love the Columbus Blue Jackets. They don't love the NHL. I think the same thing's true of Major League Baseball, where if you are a Reds or Indians fan, unless you're one of the diehard people who just love the sport, and there's very few that would then care to watch, let's say, the Angels have Mike Trout, but the Mariners against the A's. Like, you may be an Indians or Reds fan, but you care about that.
Way. I played hockey. I love hockey. I'm not watching until the Stanley Cup. Because of my mindset, and this is more, I think this is more along the lines of me just getting older. Like, you know time is, like, the most important thing to you. So,
it's the only commodity, man, that matters.
So you're saying to yourself, really, okay, I have two kids. I have... a pregnant wife. I have limited sunshine left in the state of Ohio in this season coming up. And am I going to spend an afternoon watching? No, I'm not going to watch hockey until you tell. You know what? Wake me up when it's the Stanley Cup so I can watch when it's for everything because I love watching the celebrations and you're knowing this is it. This is it. But once the Jackets got out, that's why it's so devastating. It's because I can watch the highlights of the Bruins and the Lightning, but when I see those highlights, I get salty because you're like, you didn't feel like it was 4-1, you know, and then you get frustrated, and then you get reminded of how you lost the last game, and you get more frustrated, and then you see how filthy Boston's top line is, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can appreciate the highlights, right? Mm-hmm. I can appreciate that, but I'm not watching that series because what am I going to sit here for 3 hours on a, you know, whatever night and watch a hockey game that ultimately does not matter to me personally, and it's not for everything. No, wake me up when the Bruins are in the Stanley Cup, and then I'll watch those teams, and I'll watch it because I know it's the finale. But football, on the other hand, and a lot of it's because it's my greatest passion, I can watch random games. Heck, if a random game comes up, like I was watching before the show, like 2013 Northwestern and Iowa, and you see Christian Kirksey make a tackle, and you're like, I know, okay. I don't have any recollection of watching him play while at Iowa. But I can now. I wonder what he looked like when he was at Iowa. And then I find myself trying to study the film. And then I find myself trying to grade these guys as if like they're coming out. And I'm like, would I have seen him as like a future pro watching this game? And that can go. But I played the game, so that's why it's easier for me that way. But with other sports, you know, I just don't.
I think the NFL will benefit tremendously from fall as it's intended. As it's intended. They will benefit even more by the fact that all the rest of this stuff's going away by October. And they're going to be the only show in town in November, December, and January. Yeah. Because you don't know when the NHL is going to restart or how they're going to do it. My guess is they'll have to follow the baseball model. I don't know what the NBA is going to look like when they restart and what that's going to be. You heard Adam Silver last week say that when they restart, that December 1st is feeling like it's too soon. So maybe that's something where they open their season on Christmas Day. That might be what they do. They've kind of always kind of had a corner on Christmas Day. Maybe the NBA tries to do that again, where they say we're going to open the season Christmas Day with, you know, Lakers and Bucks or whatever. And maybe that's the way they do it. But the NFL has this point. From a schedule standpoint, nothing has changed. We've lost preseason games, which nobody really cared too much about anyway, although I enjoyed watching them for the battles at the end of the roster. But there was other than that, they've lost nothing. They're going to start on time in the slot that they intended to start at. They've had their draft. They've had their free agents. They've done it all virtually, but they haven't had to change anything, right? And the rest of these sports, I find myself forcing me to watch them, and usually the ones that have the better success of me watching are either the sports that are happening as I'm cooking dinner or after the sun goes down and the boys go to bed.
Yep.
That's it. I'm not watching this stuff in the afternoon. I didn't watch any of the Indianapolis. My God, a Columbus race team won it. Ray Hall Letterman won it.
Yeah.
They won the Indy 500. I didn't watch a second of it. Graham Rahal finished third, friend of the program. Finished third.
I don't think I've watched a second of an Indy 500 ever.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I would have on. We'd always be at the lake.
Up in Minnesota was not a.
It wasn't for me either, but once I moved up here and got to know the Ray Halls, you put it on at the lake and you pop. It goes for 4 hours. You pop in and out as it's going along, and you'd watch.
Well, when you have multiple, listen. If I had multiple, lake houses as well, and
I don't have multiple lake,
just
multiple.
Not multiple. Put my feet up, and have a glass of bourbon, look out over the lake.
Just take it all
in. Open the windows and enjoy the lapping of the waves over the rocks. You know, if I had that lifestyle too, I'd throw on the Indy 500. But, I don't.
Sure.
So I have Hurricane
17
Hayden
properties.
And London. Yeah.
How's that going,
with?
By the way? Threes is doing the show. Aria is bouncing around. How's it going? How's the first 15 minutes going?
Oh, so far so good. You haven't heard much. So
no.
That's a huge win. We got, that's funny because, Shelley brings her up. We have Disney Junior on. We have popcorn, Cheerios, horses, babies, and an iPad.
Perfect.
So we should be okay.
Any look of mischief in her eye?
A little bit when she dropped one of her Cheerios in my water on purpose. She was trying to get me roused up, but a little Fantastic. Smile and a wink, and she walked away. I did not overreact, thankfully.
Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Every single year we would do that, right? We would go into a season, and you'd be like, all right, first rookie year, it's just a whirlwind. Like, you're a rookie, so when you're 1-15, you're like, bro, I don't care what the record was. This sucks, but I got to play in the NFL for a season. Whew. And I proved rookie year that I can at least survive. I don't know how long, but I can survive here, okay? Second year, you go 7-9, and that, if you just win and go 8-8, it's the year you could have went to the playoffs as an 8-8 NFC West division champ. The NFC West was not that division back then. It was a weak division. And we had Sam Bradford at quarterback, played the whole year. So you're saying, you know what? We got our franchise player. We got Steven Jackson at tailback. We got Sam Bradford at quarterback. We did that with Donnie Avery as our number one. Love Donnie. Great dude. Donnie was running a 9 route. That's it. So what if we get a wide out, right? What if we get another weapon on offense to where we're like, okay, give Sam a dude, and maybe we can take a step. Did not happen. I think they decided not to draft Golden Tate that year, who I wanted, but it's okay. They never listened to my draft recommendations, by the way.
They weren't interested in your scouting reports.
No, which, by the way, honestly, some of the guys that I wanted wouldn't have hit, but some of them definitely would have.
Give me one that you were really strong about, and you're like, please, just this is the guy.
And that they didn't hit or did hit? Because I really wanted Golden Tate. The one that I really wanted that didn't hit at all that I did not see was Justin Blackmon. I thought Justin Blackmon was going to be a dude.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
He had all sorts of stuff off the field.
Right, which, I mean, when you're just watching college football, to our defense, right? Like, so if you just say, hey, take all the off-field stuff off it, and you were just watching college football, you thought it was Bryant .2. Or 2.0.
Yeah.
So you're like, dude at Oklahoma State was big, physical, unstoppable. Anyway, so that was one that I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm glad you didn't listen to me on that. But then there was plenty others that I like. My favorite is when you have coaches who will pound the table for somebody. We had a coach who was told to me they were pounding the table for Stephon Tuitt. I want Stephon Tuitt. I don't want this little D tackle out of Pitt.
Oh, jeez.
And we drafted. And then after you draft them, they're like, oh, I thought I was telling everybody that Aaron Donald was going to be this good. Okay. All right. That's NFL coaches to a T, by the way. That's why everyone had the best draft ever. Because they're all
Everybody always has the best draft. Nobody got
who they wanted, but they spin it that they got everyone they wanted. I mean, we couldn't have asked for things to fall better for us. Okay.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's so ridiculous. Because, look, I understand the reality of that. You can't. Like, as a coach, you can't put your name on that and be like, I didn't even want you, Aaron. I didn't think you were any good. Now, you would hope coaches would have that honesty and humility, but then what's that do? It fractures your relationship off the bat, and then you're like, okay, well, this is dumb. Then you lose your job.
The fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Luke Fickell getting a contract extension down in Cincinnati. No surprise there. The idea of Luke making a stay of it in Cincinnati, as someone from your perspective who knows him very, very well.
He is very much content where he is. I think he realizes it's good for his family. The Catholic school system is very important to him and Amy. Landon is a senior, which is unbelievable. Have you seen a photo of Landon?
No.
I'm going to send you a photo of big Landon, left tackle.
We're all little
Cincinnati.
Kids, man.
I got to find you a photo.
Where's he at? Like St. X or Elder, Moeller, one of those?
I should know that. I'm terrible with all that. I'm terrible with the Cincinnati high school thing, too.
I think Moeller. Moeller, yeah, I see him.
Yeah,
oh my gosh,
I'll send this to you.
I mean, I see his 24/7 profile right now. Boy, he's a big kid.
Yeah.
6'5", 275. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I remember when he was like drawing spaceships in the linebacker meeting room back when we were playing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, if he'll coach his kid then.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you make a stay of it. He's going to make a lot of money in a great town to live in.
He knows
he's
how to recruit
so.
Ohio.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. There's not going to be prep. He's not going to have to win. Now, the only thing that we would wonder is, will the itch to try to like chase football immortality get to him? It doesn't seem like it to me. I always felt that Luke would have been perfectly content being the defensive coordinator at Ohio State for his entire career.
Yes.
At that, when I covered him, when you were there, that's what my perception was. And I got the feeling that he fell on the sword to be the interim coach. I don't know that he wanted that. What came with all that. But he did it because he felt like it was that's
he
my
was
perception.
Not ready for that moment at that time.
No, it was.
And he did not want
that. No way he
would
have
been. Time.
Yeah, that's what my perception of it was he's fallen on a sword because he loves the program and he's going to do the best he can. He's in an impossible spot, but now he's in a really good spot, and this contract gets him. He's going to stick around. He's got security. Great. It's an awesome city. It's a great. They put a lot of money into it. You could run a. You know, what's the ceiling? You ask. Well. Could you be Boise State, what they were 10 years ago?
Right.
Maybe. Right. If you can get that special quarterback, if you think about what like Memphis has done recently, what Houston has done recently, you can do that. Does that make more sense? You know, a perfect example of this is Tom Herman. Now, I don't know that you could never turn down the University of Texas. I mean, he had job offers from Texas and LSU. You don't turn down either one of those jobs if you get the opportunity. But he was building something at Houston, and was he ready for Texas and what came with it? The record would say no.
Right.
That he wasn't quite ready for it. It has been too much too soon. He's had to turn over his staff and has a ton of pressure to win this year. I think Luke will be more measured. And again, the equivalent of Herman turning down Texas would be like Fickell turning down Ohio State. You'd never do that.
Right.
And you'd have to take that job. But I do think Luke will be very prudent in moving off of Cincinnati.
I think so, too. Now, look, it's different when you're Tom Herman and the two schools that call you are Texas and LSU.
Yeah.
To when you're Luke Fickell and the schools that call you are Michigan State, Maryland. You know, that's different.
Yeah.
So if you're Luke Fickell and it's Penn State, Notre Dame call, I think you say yes. If you're Luke Fickell and it's, you know, like I said, Michigan State, you say no. No, well, why? I can't win a national championship at Cincinnati. I can't win one at Michigan State, realistically.
I mean, I think the only places around here that he would, just my gut feeling, would be obviously here if Ryan Day were to go to the pros. But this would be obviously the number one. And then around here, I think he would, you know, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Michigan. I mean, those would be the ones that I would think he would
have
to.
And I don't think he'll go. I don't think he'll go to Michigan. I'll have to think about it, but I don't think he would go.
It would be so hard to turn that down.
I don't think he'd do it. I do think he'd go to Notre Dame just because of the Catholic.
And he would. It would be similar. I mean, he would have a similar job there. The pressure would be immense. And I think Penn State would be probably of the three. I think it's the best job of the three. And I think it would. But the only thing I don't know is, I mean, that's a small town, and I don't know about Catholic education and all that stuff.
Right. I do think that you could. He could sneakily get a lot of players out of Cincinnati to go to Penn State. Now the challenge would be recruiting the East Coast, but with anything with Luke, it's about relationships and people like him, So that's the, like, I got that all the time when Florida State was open. They're like, do you think Luke could go down there? And I'm like, yeah, Luke's recruited Florida before. Now, is it a different beast? Sure. But when you meet Luke Fickell, people know that he's not just going to spew you some crap. And you like him, and you know he's about toughness, and he's honest, and you can trust him. And that carries a long way no matter what part of the country you're in.
No question.
And authenticity to it. So there's always going to be the used car salesman who, get a guy, and then how's that relationship last? For instance, if you are a Jimbo Fisher or you are a James Franklin and you promise the world to some kid, and maybe he's a five star, but you've never really put a lot of time in that high school, and you come in, you promise him all these things, you better deliver on those promises. Otherwise, the next time a kid comes along, that high school coach, man, forget that. I don't trust Jimbo as far as I can, toss him or whoever. Like, Luke isn't, he's not going to give you some grandiose promises, which might make you lose some kids, right? Maybe some kids love to hear the recruiting pitch of, like, you know what, you're going to be the, my goodness, the sky's the limit. I'm going to make you this one. And, or some kids want to hear the truth. If you work hard, you'll have every opportunity to be this, and this. But nothing's going to be given to you. But we need you. We want you. But I ain't going to promise you the world. That's up to you, too.
And I think you mentioned
some people
Florida
like that.
State.
Some people don't. It's like a agent recruiting,
When
I talk to certain agents, I won't name them by name. I was like, oh man, we'll get you this, and I can get you the biggest house parties in Scottsdale and this. I'm like, bro, I'm not interested in all that. I don't want to go out with you. I don't want to go out to a party with you. I'm not club hopping with you. That's not my goal. I want somebody who's going to take care of my financial decisions with the NFL team. That's what I want. I want someone to negotiate a lawyer contract. You know what I mean? Like, make sure the language makes sense and I'm not getting screwed. How about that? And maximize my potential there. I'm not going to fall for the whole, like, I can get you drafted. No, you can't. Is your film out there? My film's out there. You can't get me drafted higher.
Right.
Now, you can ruin it, because if you're a douche, then GMs don't want to deal with you. That's a real issue. Right? So, some guys love that, right? Like, some guys, oh, heck yeah, man. I want the agency that's going to handle my finances, do all this and that. I want to go to the club with them. No, I don't want my agency or my financial planner or my accountant. They can know each other. I'm not trying to have them all be under one roof. Why? I want checks and balances. I want to make sure that when my financial guy says, hey, I have an idea about your taxes, that my tax guy goes, I think that's too risky. Or my agent recommends something. Hey, you should do this, and this. And I've had plenty of people do this. Oh, you should try to write this off. Go to the accountant. What do you think about that? Well, you can try, but if you get audited, do you want that on your good luck trying to write off food? Well, I mean, technically, my body's a machine, and I was told my body's a machine so I can write off food because it's gas. Like, no, everyone has to eat. Good luck trying to write off groceries. Like, what are you trying? You can try, but when they come back and audit you, and they say, wait, you wrote off food? Everyone needs food to live. How do you think that's going to go?
Right.
Anyway.
I think Florida State, Florida State, they would have been in a very good spot, because I think they've hired basically three straight used car salesmen. Jimbo's a little bit of that. I think Mike Norvell's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to, you know, I think they would have been.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Norvell has just crushed it.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. The noise coming out of that program would not have been there if they would have hired Luke. That I feel very strongly about. Like, the noise coming out of the program would not have been there if they'd hired Luke. But I'm happy for him.
Bishop and Laurinaitis is presented by Window Nation. Searching for a replacement window? Visit windownation.com today. The Fan, Ohio's sports destiny.
We head on to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring in our great friend Marcus Freeman. I just tweeted out a photo of the last time the three of us talked. It was on Wall to Wall Sports after your guys' senior year. We all look significantly younger. I think you guys are both more handsome. I think I look like a shadow of myself. I was so much better looking then. Marcus, it's good to talk to you again, bud.
Hey, bro. Glad to be on here, man.
How you doing? How's everything going? This, you are Ohio's team now. Bearcats, you're our team.
Well, it's good, man. At least we're getting ready for a game. I think we're about less than 3 weeks away, and so we're in full throttle mode. We're getting ready, and Coach Fick threw upon us last week. We just found out we're playing Army week two, so this has kind of been a triple option week, so I feel like I'm getting ready for a game here.
Marcus, what's been the hardest thing about this camp during COVID? I mean, usually coaches, they have their whole systems, right, about how spring ball is going to go and then installation, and you ramp up to week one, but that has been ever-changing, right? Your schedule changes. One of the biggest non-conference games I was looking forward to was going to be you guys going to Nebraska. I thought it was huge implications for both Luke and for Scott Frost, yet that gets canceled. And now it's Austin Peay week one. Like you said, Army. Just what is the hardest thing about this season of COVID and getting ready for the season?
I think we're so used to being guys of routine, being on a schedule, knowing exactly. Usually when you get out of camp, you're about 10 days out from your first game, and you've gone through your acclimatization period, and you're ready to roll. And now all of a sudden, we didn't know when our first game was going to be. We probably found out with about a week left in camp that, hey, we're going to push our first game back to September 19th. So it's how to continually keep your players engaged and keep them focused on the task at hand when they know they have 3 weeks away from playing their first game. So it's been a challenge. I think the other difficult part is making sure they understand the biggest opponent we have is off the field. The biggest opponent we have right now is fighting the spread of COVID and making sure that we're doing the right things to prevent contact tracing and those type of things.
Marcus Freeman, our guest, former Buckeye, great, current defensive coordinator at Cincinnati, one of the fastest rising names in all of college football coaching. Marcus, the response of your kids to being asked a lot, it's a lot that's asked from you, but you're asking them to, they can't be like normal college kids. Certainly not the way you and threes used to run around here. It's got to be very different. What has been their response to it?
Yeah, they definitely can't act like me and James used to do back in the day. I think it starts with our leader. And Coach Fick, you know, he got in front of the team and said, this will be our number one opponent. And I think he made sure they understood how serious the spread of COVID could be, and I think they bought into it, and they understood that, hey, if we want to have a season, that we're all going to have to make sacrifices, from coaches to players, to making sure that when we leave the football facilities or we leave the bubble that we were in Indiana for our training camp, that now you can't be like everybody else. And we have rules. You can't go to parties. You can't go to bars. You can't be in a group gathering of more than 4 to 5 people inside without your mask on. And we have rules set in place, but ultimately it's going to be those guys policing themselves. We said we didn't want it to be like an NBA and have a hotline and somebody calls and tells them somebody's breaking the rules, but we want our guys policing each other so they understand how important it is, and making sure that, hey, if you see a guy that might be out at a party or a guy at a bar scene, and you need to make sure that he knows to stay away from our guys, and that the coaches know that this guy can't be around us because we can't spread the disease. We can't spread COVID, the virus, and we can't make sure guys are out because of contact tracing.
Marcus, I know you'll probably say you're going to stay in your own lane and worry about what you can control, but being a former player, knowing what goes into the off season and how much you work to get ready for a season, being a coach, and knowing what goes into preparing for a season, what's been your response to just when you heard that the Big Ten was postponing till January or it might be October 10th? They don't even know when they're going to play. But just being a former player and now a coach and seeing what your guys go through and trying to put yourself in those shoes of, gosh, the AAC gives that announcement, right? Like, what would be your reaction or what was your reaction to the Big Ten? And then how much would you fight for your guys? I mean, can you blame these coaches that are trying to fight for a season because you know what goes into it?
Oh, that's the most important thing, is that this isn't about, hopefully the fans and everybody around college football understand, this isn't about money. This is not about the coaches. It's about giving these kids an opportunity to play the game they love. And ultimately, I think every university is going to lose money this year because of the COVID and not having fans there. But ultimately, it's still, we want to give our chance, our players a chance, our seniors a chance to put their talents on display and hopefully, you know, give them a chance to move on to the NFL or give them a chance to compete against the best of the best. And so I was on edge like everybody else. I think every day your emotions change because at one point I had heard that, hey, if the Big Ten shuts down, everybody's going to shut down. Everybody's going to follow. So you saw the Big Ten shut down, and then you saw the Pac-12 shut down. You're like, okay, here it comes. But then all of a sudden, the next 2 days, you felt a little bit more confident because you saw a little bit of pushback. You saw the SEC say, no, we're not shutting down. And then the Big 12, and all of a sudden, Coach Fickell started to give us the impression that, hey, man, we're going to try to sacrifice and make this thing work. And now it seems like, you know, everything's going, maybe not as planned, but it's everything's going forward in motion, and it looks like we're going to be able to do this. But I couldn't imagine for our players not to be able to go through all that training, go through spring ball, go through fall camp, and thinking they're going to have a season and have it cut right from their legs. And it's a difficult, difficult situation.
Marcus Freeman, our guest, Cincinnati defensive coordinator and linebackers coach, and, of course, Buckeye great. You know, the last time I talked to you in person was you had a place out in Dublin, and you were going to – you had drafted by the Bears, and that's where it was headed. And injuries happen, and you follow this coaching passion and your football passion. And this road you've traveled, and now what you guys are building with Coach Fick, the fact that you get back with Coach and the impact he had, James talks about all the time, that Luke is one of the most important people in his life other than his dad, mentions you constantly in that as well. What is this journey been like for you in coaching and what you're building at Cincinnati? How special is that?
Well, it's been good now that we're winning and things are good. You know, if you would have asked me 17 years ago when I first met Luke Fickell, over the course of about 4 to 5 years at Ohio State, if we would be together 17 years later, I would have said you're a fool. You know, but it's been awesome. This coaching profession's been awesome. I think you get into it thinking, hey, I was in the NFL, man. I want to stay around football. You know, I want to try to be this GA, do this coaching thing. And you think, hey, it's glamorous. Hey, we're on the sidelines on Saturdays. You get to coach football. But I think the longer you're in it, this is my 11th year now, and you realize that it's about making an impact on young people. And it's the text messages or the phone calls you get from former players just saying thank you. Hey, coach, I was thinking about you. Or I remember I had a kid at Kent State that called me that's a coach now and said, hey, coach, I'm doing things that you taught me. And those are the reasons why you do those things. And, you know, I think making an impact on the generation or the young people that you're in contact with is ultimately, I think, what you'll be judged off by. And not so much the wins and losses. I think people look at the wins and losses and the championship rings. But I think me as a person, when I'm done coaching, I want to make sure that I impact all these young people that I come in contact with.
Now, Marcus, I have a twofer for you. One, you have a city of Columbus here that needs to hear some names of players to watch, because with the Bearcats kicking off, we got to know, hey, who are the guys we got to watch on your defense that are flying around? You know, hashtag let it fly. We got to know who is out there that we should pay attention to on the defensive side of the football. And the second follow-up to that is the cutout, you know, is it framed, the Bruce Feldman article with you being number one as, you know, hottest assistant coaches in the college football? Is it framed, and is that picture in front of Joanna and the kids, or is it right next to?
I tell you what, you know, until you gave me a text message, you shot me a text message and told me I was on that article, I had no clue. But, you know, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to frame that and put that. I'm going to actually give that to you to put right behind all those Playboy All-American awards you used to get. And, you know, you used to tease me about just being all Big Ten, and I'm an All-American. I said, you know what, I'm going to put that thing right by your trophy case. So I'm going to frame that and send that to you, man. But, no, it's a great honor. You know, again, I'd like to use it as a great reminder for our players that with team success comes individual success. And am I a different person? Hopefully I'm a better coach, but am I a different person 4 years ago? Was I a different person 4 years ago than I am now? No. I hope I'm the same person, but I hope you're a better coach. And, you know, it's really cool that you get individual recognition, you know, recognition for team success. You know, all of a sudden your team's good. Guess what? You got better coaches. All of a sudden your team's good. You got more first team all league players. And I hope our players buy into that and understand that. But we got a bunch of, to me in my eyes, really, really good players on the defensive side of the ball. We got James Wiggins, who is our returning safety, who was a guy that people had said could leave early last year. He had three or four walk-off interceptions 2 years ago to win the game. I mean, it's like something I've never seen before. To win the game on the goal line, I mean, he picked it off versus Ohio, and then versus SMU, he picks off overtime, picks off the ball, runs it back for a touchdown to end the game, and then Virginia Tech, he picks it off to win the game. He's a special player that tore his ACL. He actually tore his ACL. That we played on a Thursday last year versus UCLA, so the Tuesday of game week, he tears his ACL, and you know, it was a big void for our defense, and we had a lot of guys to fill in. But it'll be good to have him back. A guy that many Buckeye fans, I'm sure, remember is Christian Bryant's little brother, Kobe Bryant, is a returning starting corner for us, and he's a heck of a player. Comes from Cleveland Glenville, that would do a great job for us at the field corner. We got a fresh returning freshman All American at our boundary corner, and Ahmad Gardner. That really came along last year, and towards the last half of the season started every single game for us. Up front, we got a guy named Majay Sanders, who's a kid from Jacksonville, Florida, who was really highly recruited coming out of high school, and then qualified late, which I think gave us an opportunity to get him. And he's done exceptional things since he's been here. He'll be an NFL football player in my eyes. And you know, got a senior named Elijah Ponder, who's a first team all league, and Jarrell White is Cincinnati guy. I could go on and on again. I'm a,
you can give us the whole 11. You are such a coach now, bro. You're just going to start at 11.
You know,
I mean, that's a trestle in you, bro. You're just going to go around and spread it to everybody.
That's it. Everybody has a piece of it.
Marcus, well, you've got a piece of the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Parts of Buckeye Nation, certainly you and Coach Vic down there, a lot of ties, and certainly will be the team that we pay the most attention to. All the best down there, bud. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. Had a fun talking to you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Always great hearing from Marcus Freeman, one of your great friends, and he was just a joy to cover, and wish him nothing but the success down at Cincinnati.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Nation.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
All right, this is simple. It's Labor Day weekend. It should be the start of college football. It's a bloody beer. This is a Montana tailgating tradition. You take a Yeti, you put some ice, you pour a Coors in it, a Yellow Belly, a Yellow Jacket, if you will. You pour that in it. You put a couple of ice cubes in it. You get a little Clamato, and you top it off with that and a little celery salt on the top of the Yeti, and away you go. It's a Montana tailgating tradition.
Is that what John
Dutton's doing? Rip is, for sure. Rip's definitely doing it. I assure you.
I think he's still doing it.
He's probably doing it too. Yeah, he's probably doing it too.
He just can't go whiskey. He can't go bourbon on the rocks. You know that.
No, if John Dutton was watching a Montana State football game, this is how it would start. This would be the morning on how it would start. There's no question. That's all you need to know. Time for three things. Hit it.
One, two, three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Just when I thought I'd seen all of the great shows that are on television and binge-worthy, I stumble upon Fargo on FX. Hell of a start for Billy Bob and the boys. I'm in on watching this, and I needed something because we were out of shows, and I think I've watched about everything that could be watched.
Good for you. My first thing. So we're at the park, good old Glacier Ridge. London's on the swing set, and you know, some kids wearing a mask playing, and you know, London asked why she was wearing one, and then London decides to lie and say we don't wear masks, which I'm assuming she means at the park. You know, like when we're outside, typically we're not masked up if we're walking the family, four of us, right? But the kid next to her, and this is our society in a nutshell, kid next to her is defending the other girl and just says, Well, I have a mask, and it's in my pocket. Well, son, what's it doing for you there?
Not a lot of good.
This is our society. I am not actually wearing the mask either, but I have one, and you should be wearing one. This is our society, isn't it?
It's where
like,
we're at.
Let me point out the law. Let me point out the speck in your
it's
eye.
Sad
line,
that it's the little kids, right?
Mine. But it's funny because I told Lynn, I called her over. I'm like, look, for one, if people want to wear a mask, baby, they wear a mask, okay? That's what her parents want her to do. And two, we do wear masks. We do wear masks when we go inside. So don't lie and say we don't.
Right.
I don't want her parents to think we're nuts. We do wear masks.
Right.
Gosh.
My first thing, big thanks to Matt Andrews for sitting with me when we hosted the Buckeye Show on Monday. It was a little nerve-wracking, but I got through it, did the whole 2 hours, and he was right there being very supportive and helping me whenever I ran out of things to say. And also thanks to anybody who listened. Some people tweeted at me and everything. It was a lot of fun. I hope to keep doing it.
Attaboy.
Number two. Yeah, good job, Chopper. Number two for me, I came. My wife took the kids, the two oldest, to school, so Boots was down here. I came out of my office where I do the show. He had plastic cups set up all over, like in like pyramids, all over the first floor, and he was shooting them down with Nerf guns.
Attaboy.
I've never seen it done in our house before. He just did it.
Love it.
It's like, God bless you. God bless you.
Love it. Absolutely. Just the old Western cowboy. You
That's
know?
Right. That's right.
My second thing. Amazing response out of the University of Georgia. So they have 821 positive tests from last week, an increase of 189 during the previous week, which is the week classes began. So anyway, you see the statement from the president, and it says, look, this is concerning, but students, I urge you, just keep wearing your masks, socially distance, make good choices. Like, that is why the SEC is playing football.
Yep.
Big news for me, I paid off my last payment of my car yesterday, got that loan installment.
Man.
That's all gone. I now own the car myself, so it's the first big thing that I've ever fully owned, and I was very excited to get that done, and that recurring payment will no longer be coming out of my account.
That's a good job out of you, Chops. Finally, for me, a sad, sad day. The Butcher and the Boar, my favorite restaurant in Minneapolis, closed for good, permanently. This was one of my favorite restaurants in America, let alone anytime I went to Minneapolis, I ate here. It's fantastic. I'm just devastated it's closed. It was spectacular.
Well, speaking of Minnesota, my high school is just absolutely basking in the glory of last year's state championship. So, football, as you know, has been canceled till spring in Minnesota, along with all other fall sports.
Mm-hmm.
So what does my high school do on Instagram? They repost, this week would have been Wayzata at Woodbury, where the Trojans won 19-0. Rewatch it on YouTube, and they had a picture of their state title ring from all four angles.
Good job out of them.
So, hey, there's no season this year. Relive every single win we had last year.
That's
as
right.
We went towards our state championship.
Bo, you were mentioned running out of shows, and I found this one. Well, I knew it existed, but nobody has the YouTube Red subscription, which I don't even know exists anymore. So Cobra Kai, now on Netflix.
Right.
And if you're a fan of The Karate Kid, I would totally recommend it. I'm a big fan of those original.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Karate Kid movies, so it's been a lot of fun. They use actual footage from the first movie when they do like little flashbacks in the show, and they mix it up, and you know, it's the two main actors, William Zabka and Ralph Macchio, are back in it. So I would totally recommend it, especially if you're a Karate Kid fan.
Oh, very good. I've seen that in the queue, so maybe I'll give it a run.
Want to know anything about the fans' contests, how to win, or what's up for grabs? Check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destiny.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars.
Lindsay makes the difference.
Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.